let's go ahead and get this thing started.
Call this meeting to order.
Let's welcome everybody up here today. Get a little referral. Any prayer on this thing? I'll go ahead and give us an opening prayer. Our Father in Heaven, thank you for this beautiful morning. We have to gather here as board members for Deer Spring. Help us to have a good meeting and get a lot accomplished and be able to help the members out that we got here and help us have a clean mind and clear and fun accomplished. And we're thankful for those who've been able to travel and safety for everybody to get to travel. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
All right, we have a small issue with the meeting minutes from last month. Shauna never countlessly tried to get Shauna to fax them to me. She assured me the last time we were together that she would get them back right over, and she did not. Does anybody know the procedure for approving those minutes we don't have? Okay.
Hey, Mark.
Sure.
Now, you guys, it's been put off before. Don't, you know, if you think it's going to happen for the next meeting, just you can just put them off. It happens all the time.
All right, then I'll make a motion that we go ahead and wait to approval on the minutes from last month's meeting to be held at next meeting. Anybody want to second that motion? All right, we got Jody second that. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Moving right along on the agenda, we've got areas of responsibility. I don't think we need to read all that. Everybody knows their areas. Let's move right into the financial report from Linda.
At this time, we have $8,998.68 in the bank. We have spent all of our money. Our land taxes will be covered by that, and if we don't take money out of the savings in the capital account, then we'll land tax is about $7,000. And so we don't have any money to spend from now on until we receive our assessments for next year. And at the beginning of this year, or at the end of last year, we used some of the assessments for this year to accomplish the end of the year finances. So that is a big problem. And I know that Jody is treasurer and has to close that problem, but we'll talk about that later on in the meeting. So
didn't have the financial. That's in this deck.
Yes, it's in your packet. I'm sorry. First thing under the agenda is your financial. It has all of the paperwork on that. So on the balance sheet, you can see at the top of that is our account, the amounts that are in our account. We have, Paul has a check from Hunt, which will is for $5,000 from Hunt Cattle Company, and that will take us to the end of the year with with our phone bills and things like that that we have in monthly expenditures.
That will cover wages or whatever?
Yes, just certainly until the assessments come in from this year.
Well, last year we robbed a little from this year, but last year we talked about, we can transfer some money out of 2012 back to 2011.
That's where we're at.
The more we do that,
I know,
the more difficult it becomes.
Right.
If we're $30,000 short, still borrowing more funds, we're
in trouble.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I think
it's. All right. That's the financial report, right?
Yeah.
And do we need to make a motion to go ahead and accept the report for From Linda?
We haven't in the past.
We haven't? Okay. We'll go right ahead and just move on.
Some of the areas on here are items of question and discussion.
Yes, sir.
But I think those will come out when we get into the 2012 budget.
I do believe so, sir.
I don't think I've circled in red on one we received last month.
Okay.
I put the agenda in order so that each could report on their departments, and then we'd do the budget at the end. I thought that would be appropriate. So the next thing in your set is a letter from Mike Duvall concerned about something on roads, which is your department, but we don't have Paul here, so.
Yeah, I was going to kind of intervene for Paul right there on that. The things you have, we're just going to have them talk about with the fencing, which I do believe we've gone ahead and tabled till later on.
Okay,
how much? It really happened to discuss, and I don't think waste our time today on fencing because you know it's lacking, and the big hole of that really needs to be discussed with in our budget meeting.
Okay.
Or part of the budget. So we know our fences are in dire straits.
Okay.
I know Paul, we talked to Paul about getting the pastor's number, but that's been an ongoing issue. And pulling up fences, that's just part of the fencing budget. So as far as the cattle guard goes, the report on the cattle guard is he did bring it to town, and I did take it to Vegas. I did take it to Happy Cedar. It'll go to Vegas tonight. So Jose is not going to be doing that. I'll be lining it up, laying it out, and reviewing it to see what he's actually got there to see if it's going to be, if somebody's idea on when they started that's going to be an economical or a wise choice or what. So to report on that cattle guard for him, he's just going to tell you I have it, and I'll go ahead and say it right there. Moving on, looking right into the roads and fire protection, is my area of responsibility there. The gravel pit activities, while we were at the ranch last week, we went ahead and ran into Alan up there, and he is processing. How much do you say he's making right now, Dale?
About 5,000 yards. 3,000 to 5,000 yards. I understand that Phil Hall is putting 1,000 yards down, and other people have ordered about another 1,000, and then there may be 2,000 or 3,000 that would be for sale later on. Larry reported last night that they finally got it moving, and there's a large pile of gravel there now.
Mark had mentioned, Paul had mentioned to me that they were using quite a bit of gravel on the ranch also. Getting some of that from Alan, it was part of he's staying in one of the cabins just to pay for that.
He's in cabin 8?
Yeah.
Right now.
Right.
He was having some difficulties there. They had some hurdles, some equipment failure and so forth, so he got ahead and got that up, and he was working purposely when we were there, trying to get it all up and going, and I think at least he's moving forward with it. That's it. Let's go to this parking south of the North Gate letter. That's from Mike DeVall. I'll go ahead and read it. Dear members of the DSR board, thanks for letting my agenda item make the meeting. Before the runoff pond, just south of the North Gate, was reworked, there was parking for several trucks, trailers, etc. on the west side of the road. It was often used by members who were going to hike, ride, motorbike, mountain bike, etc. into the Dixie National Forest, up the pipeline, and or the Grand View Trail. We've used it numerous times with and without friends. When the area was reworked, that parking area was not put back into place or leveled out for parking. The area is still there, however, it is unusable and needs to be leveled to the way it can and was before. He sent Alan to get there with his equipment. He comes down the ranch, a nearby ranch road often. Can the board approve him getting in there with his backhoe and leveling up that area? I can't imagine it could take him a half hour since it's close to being usable now. This would make the area much more usable for many members. If this can be done since there is nowhere else to park, especially with the trailer. Thanks for your consideration. Well, we got Paul showing up.
Paul?
Morning, Paul.
Morning.
Anybody want to comment about that letter from Mike on that parking area?
I don't know how much I want
to charge
for that. I don't know.
You know, it starts at like 100. I don't know what this equipment is.
I'm sure they didn't hear that question, Jody. Can you say it louder?
How much does Alan charge an hour for equipment? I don't remember.
I think the spot that he's talking about, I think I know probably the curator and depending on how we want, how wide we want to make it, but I think if we're going to do it, maybe put some rock down there so people go to park there and it rains, they're not stuck in a big fog.
Where is he going?
You know where the big DSRV is? Back where we used to park back there, kind of by the air pump there on the other side of the air pump.
Other side of the bear fall. How that was changed?
Kind of the way the road was changed, he needs to park right there. Mike's just asking if we can kind of level a spot out there so people will park.
I don't remember a lot of parking usage up that way. In Europe, they're all the time.
Flat spot there.
There is.
No, but those washers haven't changed.
I park there a couple times. I've had people park there a couple times. And it's not a very big spot. I mean, it's
a
lot. Yeah, it would probably facilitate maybe one truck and trailer. It's not a group.
Well, can't that area right there at the old cabin, which is just around the corner, technically be utilized for that same purpose?
No, the best place to put it is just west of the fence.
Through the gate. There's 10 acres
of flat land.
Okay. All open right there. It's all clear right now.
It's all clear. It's all.
Yeah. And the gate doesn't have to be open anymore.
Right.
To fill those washers and mess around. And
you're right.
It's impractical. So go through the gate, and if you do an acre there.
Yeah.
Is that on the
fourth?
No, or
on the fourth, 5 by 10.
They're all
three.
Yeah.
That's all association right there, anyway.
It's really
good. Yeah, that's a good call. I didn't even think of that.
Well, that's, I don't think we need to. I would definitely shut down the idea of even talking about getting Alan up there to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think. And we can talk about when we start running the roads and running the grader. Expecting a little bit to there, make the turnaround spot for the grader would utilize the same as turnaround spot or parking spot for anybody else in that matter.
Okay for Paul on the west side of the fence.
Okay for Paul to make just a, let's grade him and I, he can just create a turnaround spot next to there. And it can be utilized for everything.
While he's doing that, we should probably put a culvert in that waterway with a little dirt over it. Right now, you cross it with an ATV or anything else.
Right.
What I can do.
Yeah.
So just along the fence, keep our roadway right on the fence.
Okay.
And then we go to this parking area down through there. Be very simple.
Right. Hey, you got your number on
but no. You can keep that one.
Now it's a tax write-off.
I think I'll see Mike today. I think I passed him on the way up. I'll let him know. Just tell him, hey, 100 yards past where you're talking about the perfect spot.
His sign is down. Did he sell his lot?
He decided not to sell.
Oh. All right, so we'll go ahead and make those notes right there that it's agreed that that's what we'll go ahead and do. So I'm going to go ahead and accept that parking spot as the new area, and it answers that request from Mike. And Paul, will let Mike know, correct?
Yeah. I think in the future we plan on growling from the park. If we could maybe throw a couple roads in that area as kind of if we're going to designate that. I mean, I'd hate to see a section of beautiful meadowland taken with some rock, but if people are going to park there, we're going to designate that a parking area. I mean, it gets kind of boggy up there. I think it'd be nice to have a nice place to park.
Okay.
By the way, at one time, the county agreed to gravel an area right there, and the Forest Service agreed to it. It would be better to be outside our fence or inside our fence, but that was part of a Meadow Canyon Road improvement 4 or 5 years ago.
I'll take a note about that, and I'll get with somebody in the county and see if we can get something on a plan about that one. Spring. Maybe we can get them to fit the bill for us on that one and set that up in their course when they go to there. Do they normally go, are they maybe even going up through the canyon to go up on top of the crater, or are they just going to?
They won't touch anything.
They don't touch anything anymore?
No. And the DSROE board turned down the $250 million off.
Why did we do that?
Stupidity.
Well, because they wanted to have public access through the ranch and they didn't know the radio town. Or I should say the board didn't know the radio town.
And they wanted to be able to lock that gate during the green season and things like that.
There's a file on that mark that you may want to look at.
Okay.
Somebody did go up through with a piece of equipment up in the forest and straightened that road up recently.
The south end or north end?
I don't know. As far up as I went, somebody was up there with a big piece of equipment cleaning that road up.
Well, it usually comes down from Page.
I didn't go all the way up. I just went up and get a couple of the woods.
Okay. So that's what we'll go ahead and do. I'll go ahead and see if I can maybe see if the county wants to do anything about that so we don't have to put the bill for that come spring. I'm going to talk to them about that. And if not, then Paul will go ahead and do it in the spring time, set that up. All right. Paul, you see we kind of went past your area there. Just a brief, I'll pass back on that one. I pretty much tabled out the fencing idea.
On number 5?
Yeah. Okay. Because we've, as per our last meeting, we pretty much discussed that fencing is just going to be an item on the budget. We're going to talk about that later.
I did bring a map. Map you guys wanted to look at as far as where DSR fences are or BLM fences are. And, there was some question on what fences were up on period. So.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. This is what I have hanging in my bedroom. This is what I go look at. But I think Ben has another copy of that, and that's what he gave me. It's really accurate. There's quite a few miles of fences that I took care of last year. Fences that I think the Robinsons, when they had the lease, were supposed to take care of as far as their lease agreement. south, southeast there, or southwest, got all that. A lot of that was down, and I'm guessing it's due to, you know, the elk down in that area. A lot of that was down. It took quite a few depots last year and fixed all that, but there's still a little bit of work that needs to be done on the BLM. I'd like to go through with that map and probably mark out where the DSR fences are, new fences, old fences, and overlay it with Vance. Vance has a program, I think, that he could make up a map like that and show us kind of where we're at as far as fences.
I know we're going to have a serious spring with us, so let's we'll get into all that.
I'd like to throw out there, I know we're having a budget meeting. I would like to get an audit for the ranch to use. You know, if we're going to build miles of fence, I think having an audit would be beneficial.
I agree.
Just my two cents.
I told them also I have a calendar.
Okay.
So we're scratching that up. Joe Jose's.
Okay.
Thing.
You took all the pieces back.
Yep.
Okay.
Moving into the ranch activities, Shauna Cox.
Ooh, I like that.
Yep. We're going to move right along today. We're going to try to.
Go
ahead.
$5,000. Really impressed with the way things went. There are some fence issues that we're working out, but
is he willing to help out some of these fence issues? Are you talking about any of that?
He's willing to work it out.
Yeah.
He even said that premium that he's paying for me, he's paying almost three times more than what other majors have paid. A part of the agreement, and I've never seen the agreement that I signed my third. At no point in that did it say that he was to do an incentive, but he appears dangerous.
There's a lot of things in that.
Mark, unless we get to a point of honesty and understanding these things, we're never going to make any headway.
Right.
Has anyone here checked on what grazing is going for in southern Utah today? I don't think anybody has. Hunt is not paying three times. In fact, I think that there are those that would pay more than Hunt's paying right now. And no one on the board, I know that's a pretty critical. We have now let somebody have 90% of the ranch for $10,000. It won't cover the fencing or the quality of water. And we're praising him for that.
Right, I agree.
And yet nobody's read the contract.
I've read the contract.
You've read the contract. Mark, we're going to read it.
I think there was, when we first signed the earthworks job, there was original contract. Because then I think, and I've read that, that's when we got in writing. And then after that, he wanted to do more, or something came in last year, which has not been amended in the contract. And what Paul was saying is that it does take 10 times more than what we've charged people a Deer Spring Ranch before to raise. Not what we're going for. But I think...
look back at the thing you sent out.
Mm-hmm.
It showed that other people in the past paid a lot more.
So years ago, we were getting $18,000 a year.
Was that for all year? For all year?
I think the first contract, my memory is pretty bad, but I think the first contract was he was doing fencing and cleaning,
I don't think that came up with me until the second time around when he said, hey, I'll pay you guys more if you take care of, I think it was the 70 at that point. I don't remember the specific from the water. And I don't have that copy with me.
I have a place of responsibility on him for fencing, us for fencing, us hauling water. Us not allowing members to put our cattle up there, which is part of our purchase contract.
Well, whoever allowed that hauling water to go on the contract is ridiculous because we can't even get it. We don't have a truck to do that, but I know that somebody is.
Yeah, we do. No, I have a last year, and this year I have a program running out and it goes on the back of the flatbed.
We're talking a lot of water, we're talking all about 6,000 or 8,000 gallons at a time.
Well, with the reservoirs in place, and that that section out on the Deer Springs Point, what Doug's calling Deer Springs Point out there, you know, where that reservoir is, a little bit of work there.
You don't need one.
You don't need a whole lot.
Okay, well, I just point that out. I
saw that somewhere. Somebody's going to be like.
Yeah, Mark?
Sure.
I have Brent Robinson's contract from 1991, which is good for 7 years, in front of me. It was for $1,600 a month for 5 months of the year. I can read some of the details if anybody wants it.
Do you have Doug Hunt's contract there, Dan?
Yeah, it's in the DSR online records. Oh, the Hunt contract is in the minutes from the let me find out. Hang on a minute. You guys go ahead. I'll find it, and I'll let you know when I've got it.
I have a copy of it here.
I still have
a copy. Let's check it. Let's see. Does it include fencing
and water?
I think what it stated in there is he paid $10,000 this year, $11,000 next year, $12,000 next year, and then $12,000 for the next 7 years.
Right.
So, Mark. I think the agreement was the last contract that I remember reading was that he paid $10,000 this year, $11,000 next year, $12,000 the next year, and then $12,000 the remaining 7 years. And that extra $1,000 he was putting towards ranch equipment, some kind of infrastructure.
But because the Robinson contract was a poor one, again, negotiated, I think, poorly, and then wasn't followed through on. Obviously didn't do near what he said he was going to do. And again, it's kind of the board's fault that Robinson didn't enrich the program at all. Here's one. Hunt is responsible for maintaining existing water systems and fences to keep the cattle in. What does that really mean? Hunting have use of the wet meadow, lower meadow, pig ponds, Broad Hollow, the airstrip, Deer Springs Point, the well field, and all other areas of the ranch except areas around the headquarters used for ranch animals. I'll have a question. I think there have been 12 horses. Actually, you have 12 horses.
Five of them are mine, and I think there's been three that were that my son Jeremy's been working with, breaking.
Your horse has been prepped.
Well, no. Other than that, we're using.
Deer Springs Owner Association is. Will not have the right to put other cattle on the other areas of the ranch.
That's conflict with
the owners the SOTSO calls, like, because of the, when we bought the properties, we're supposed to be able to run 2 head per lot with the herd.
Right.
Your Spring Ranch Owner Association is responsible for new fences at the meadow and to repair 2 fences that separate Run Hollow and the airstrip. At the airstrip and Deer Springs Ranch Point for purposes of allowing rotation and herd bull management. These improvements will be completed by the year end of 2012. Beginning of 2012.
Those fences are cut. I think the problem I'm having is those fences have been silted in, so they're kind of a foot shorter. So I think if I run through with some depots and another top wire, I think those fences would be old roof, which those fences, I'll show you exactly where they are. Down by Dave Hills, which is right down in here. And the other one is kind of that drip fence to keep from going up. And then all the middle fence, which is down, can't really see it, but it's right above the Half Moon Reservoir, where that caliber is, that fence. Or the ditch there.
I really think there's practically no, there's only one fence on the whole ranch and the whole cattle. I think it's going to go through all the old fences, the new fences. It says here that the lessee shall be given a $2,000 a year discount of the lease payment until the improvements are completed. In areas where the ranch is not provided a live water source, the ranch shall be responsible for hauling water as needed. Hunt is responsible to keep cattle on the ranch. I yelled at him, or what? Hunt shall be allowed to keep a motor home, truck, horse, and cattle trailer at the ranch in approved areas. So just different things on here that, oh, if there's a violation, they have 120 days to correct it. Well, that's the whole season.
I think we really need to study that lease out, and I think we really need to there's too many wide open areas, like Gail said. It's too big.
We can't spend the whole morning with that. Okay.
So I said, just wanted to bring that up, that there's...
It depends on next month's agenda.
All right. So let's move on. Everybody's in agreement? Or anybody have anything on that? Can you just fill that up in right now?
There's a committee. I guess cattle does not somebody take responsibility and follow through on that.
And we should say there is a committee
now? I'm suggesting that there's a committee on that. Also, y'all take time to read that contract over this month and next month have a meeting about it. And then well, fencing part of that is really big. The water, it looks like we're okay. We have a hall where there's no spray already there and no water hall with water. But how many places does that happen through the ranch? Is that a lot looking crazy?
Well, I haven't had a water problem. That's the town. The water hall? Any concerns? No.
No, I haven't had water
problems.
So it looks like the fencing is variable.
We have plenty of water going out to the BLM pump. We drained out there towards BLM.
Plenty of water. The new system that I put where the windmill was.
No. You're not telling the truth. BLM Deer Springs Point. Is there water out there?
There is. There's water in all summer in that reservoir. We've had 35 to 40 day out there for the last.
On the east side of the ranch?
2-3 months, yes.
And I understood they wouldn't stay there.
They stayed there with a bull, mind you, the last 3 months. Doug Hunt is very pleased with the way things have been separated.
And that moves the water out there.
In the reservoir. We had a rainstorm, I don't know what it was, 2 months ago, filled it right back up.
We had a drought all the way off.
Well, we had a rainstorm that filled it up.
I maintain that reservoir hasn't been filled for 10 years.
Well, maybe not filled up, but enough water to water.
I drive out there quite often, right? Have to watch that, I guess. I didn't think that's out enough water.
And I think with a little bit of work with some of that ditching that's right there, I think, you know, with the storms that we have, I think we can keep water in there consistently throughout some. A little bit of runoff after winter. Get some July storms. Earlier in the season, we didn't put cows out there because there was no water, but after that rainstorm, there was considerable amount of water.
And you hauled in water?
I hauled in. Last year, we hauled water 2 times a day.
When did you pull the cattle out?
We hauled them out yesterday.
This weekend, he pulled the cattle out next spring, right? Can we get a post-year report from him on how we thought it was so we can address it in the winter and give him a better product next year so we can remove speculation?
Well, have we had complaints?
It doesn't matter. We need it from the horse's mouth.
He just said he was very...
We need it from the horse's mouth because we have conflicting information from the water supply to this and that. Let's remove all doubt from our opinion and let's hear it from the horse's mouth. Let's get a post-year report from it. One page, one paragraph, book, whatever he wants to write. We'll all review it as a board and we'll give him a better product next year.
Paul, you go ahead and do this. Had him write up how he thought the year went.
Well, when he gave me that check, he was very happy.
So okay, just take a board, like to know. A paragraph or whatever he wants to write, just something that we can put in our files about how things look. Okay, thank you.
That'll be good. I'll let you know.
Yes. All right, moving right along then, we're going to jump into ranch activities with Shauna.
I think we need a grazing report actually that goes to BLM that tells how many hens for how long.
All right, yeah.
That's the plan we did that last year. I expect that for getting the cows out, you'll send it to me.
Just a reminder. Thank you for that input there, Jeff.
He knows about that.
We can just add the letter with it.
Anything else anybody wants to add before we move?
I want to ask you, when you talked about the gravel and how much we were going to be selling, that would be considered income for your spring, right? We've got to take PE for saying how much money we're spending. It's been training talks about how much money are we going to make on the gravel and what we expect to spend.
It's set up that there was a small bit of each bit of gravel that was sold supposed to go to the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have a report yet, I take it, from Allen.
What's your forecast income for this?
Well, I think when we talked to Alan, his projected tonnage was only going to end up being 10,000 yards. Wasn't that Bill? I think he said 10,000 instead of, I think he originally thought it was about 15. I mean, you know, we have an effect with some old notes.
I guess we can go back on that when we get to the
other one. Okay. I'm just curious because, I mean, that should be considered income when you guys say we have some money. No matter how we do. And I'm just curious about how much it would be. That's all.
I have the letter here from Bill Hall who kind of set the thing up. The ranch is supposed to end up with 50 cents a month.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's 5,000 yards, it'll be $1,500.
Okay. I'm just looking for ballpark now.
If some of that is used on ranch roads,
then we can't charge us.
Right. We won't give you 50 cents. And at the same time, I don't think we need to pay the 50 cents BLM lease fee.
Great.
If it's gravel and sold to somebody else, then I think there's a 50 cent fee goes to them. but that's kind of, Phil Hall's proposal, and then if they said, hey, we don't want to get to the middle of it, everybody contact Alan directly and see what they have. So in answer to your question, we may end up with $500 to $1,000 of gravel, at least overnight.
Okay. The only thing about us not getting you into the middle of it is that BLM will want to how much gravel is taken out of that pit from the ranch. There, so we'll need to have a report how much was taken out.
How long until he pulled that crusher out? Or, you know, are you done? Would you tell him, next time you see him, that he needs to complete a report and BLM, whatever he's going to do there, as far as what he accomplished, what is available, so forth?
His quantity, his numbers crushed.
What he was able to do, how much he produced, so we can, how much he sold, how much is available. Just anything, so that we can make sure that
it's better. Did anyone reply to Phil last time? Did you find out?
I don't think we did.
Last time I talked to Phil, he was still kind of, what does the ranch want to do? And then both with the culverts and with the rock. I don't know if anybody got back to
him.
Oh, we wanted to go and look at them, too.
Right.
About that.
Right.
One of the focus. All of it, you were referring to one girl about. That was a battle call.
Okay. Oh,
that had nothing to do with the doctor, anyways. Anything else? Anything else? All right. We'll go ahead and move on to our branch activities then. Sean.
Okay, the only thing I have on ranch activities is we went and we looked at the cabins. We found a few new places that would be good for maybe snow skiing if we get the opportunity to have enough snow. But that would be up by the cabin, and maybe we could invite the cabin or two up there where they might be able to. I think we could sled and snow ski cross country ski. There could be some things that people would really like to do because we have a ski hill that would be fun, even down through the middle. It would be fun for cross country skiing to go direct.
It's going
to have to be winter sports, but we got it's hard to predict our winter. We have any time out there.
Is there any King County website that would allow us to put some kind of little...
Do we want to open it up that way? Because, yeah, there's King County.
Do we want to do that? I mean, we can get all these tourists coming into town. If you're going to say cross-country ski or anything else like that, I don't know if anybody does that.
There's lots of groups that do that kind of stuff, but, you know.
Quite a few members that like the cross-country ski.
And I'm thinking membership. I'm not thinking outside people. I'm thinking membership because of... People would like to do winter sports.
Trisha and Byron can't
do that,
actually.
I feel
that
every year.
That's my only problem because I don't know. I mean, at some point in time, like the motorcycle riders, there might be a group that wants to come, but that's a possibility, but we can't guarantee snow. So I don't know how you're going to guarantee anything if people want to try to make some reservations. I'm thinking activity for the membership. The membership, but we've got to have more response because we're still trying to work up getting them to come like it at our one annual activity. As we get more and more people to start becoming more responsive, then we can expand. But I feel like we've got to stick with one and make it a good deal. And then if people want to come more, then we can. We have all tons of ideas. We just can't implement them until we have people. That makes a difference, people. So, that's on
it. Anything else you got? All right. Anybody else want to add on that? All right. Let's move right into advanced communication, preservation, red development, right?
So the cabin reservation is all good. Communications on entering us for some during the budget, if we want to move forward on improving the communication on the ranch. I hope that's what we'll discuss now, or we'll talk about it.
I go ahead and put
it out there
now, so we can deal with that
while there. It's more of a presentation when I say, you've all heard about what Bob has up there, the little radios. I can get that towards your spring's own the ability to do that. It's more than just radio to radio. There's an actual piece of equipment he has up there that's rebroadcasting the signal. I want to, since the Deer Spring Branch owns the frequencies, which we discussed about at the last board meeting, I would like to see Deer Spring Branch has their own machine that they can have their people with their own radio come up and have full communication with each other the same way Bob does. Everyone likes it. Bob's is the private system. We need to own our own since we own the frequencies. As the end user, you have a radio that works. You can get it from the Deer Springs Calabar coming up photo. This is when I can hit his. Ours will probably start out a little weaker because of the location and run it a year, and then we can put it at a more optimum lot. But I want to start it at headquarters so it can be monitored through the winter. Since it's ours, it should work the whole time. What I was thinking is kind of to add an image to it so people have one of this radio. In one of the cabins overlooking headquarters, I can put the unit in there, could actually mount it on the wall, put it behind the glass, plexiglass cabinet, so whoever's in it can see it working. I mean, it's just a little light. And actually, one of the radios could be used. I have a microphone outside the box, so they could actually use it. That way, whoever's in that cabin would actually have regular communications out like everyone else. They could actually hear the chatter, or they could turn it off. I mean, they would have control over it inside the cabin. But I think that would be something neat. You could show, look, we have rural, basically, two-way radio system, like the police, whatever. And they could all go inside a cabin. That way, it's secure, a little bit more climate control. And if you guys do open up the cabin for year-round, they could go in that cabin. That way, if anyone is sitting up for a while, stranded or needs help, they have a radio at the cabin, whether they personally own one or not. The building has a radio. And the batteries and the antenna can be put on the building, which makes it a lot more expensive to install.
Great idea.
I know everyone likes the radios.
The radio, they're pretty sweet. There are people all throughout the ranch that have radios. And
I've been at our place, and Bob's walked by because of morning walks and evening walks. And I've heard, when he stopped and chatter, I've heard Paul down at headquarters, crystal clear. It's kind of a nice thing. So.
We had one out there on our last day, and we could talk to Tim Lint. We talked to Tim Lint and Paul. And
it's a good feature. I mean, for security, hey, there's some people driving around. Could you check it out over by just, you know, between security, between safety, emergency. I mean, it's
that's a good thing.
And so far, it's been free. It's been at the members' cost.
And Bob's supporting the whole thing. I know we can't bring the whole ranch up under his phone. I think we need some young frequencies. I think we need to do well. It's a one-time purchase when the money comes around. It's a one-time purchase. Next year, we probably would take a little bit more to fine-tune it and revise a couple things. We have to run it for a year. But for the most part, it's a one-time purchase. I'm ballparking on the price, but I consulted with my friends back home, and they're 99% sure I get the whole thing up running for the most part. So probably under
$3,000. Is that what you said?
It should be in the paperwork.
Okay.
And everyone obviously has to buy their own radios. It has its advantages with everyone having to buy their own radios because they're responsible for their own end. But we can put out what your radio needs to be. We can suggest what radio to buy. And I think it's really good for safety. Because my wife came up here one time by herself, and I emailed a couple of people and said, hey, if you're there, my wife's going to be out the radio. So I can get, monitor, make a little bit more. I always appreciate it. We use the radio during the fire, lightning strike, fire drafting. We're up on your lot. We're using the radios to communicate back to your property, and we're going up looking for shovels.
Perfect example. Last year, Brent Fulmer and I, there was a fire down by Loma Mesa Mesa. He came down to headquarters. I went with my radio, which I have GPS on. Dave McCormick, BLM, was there. They knew exactly where the fire was. It was on BLM, but if it was on the ranch somewhere, you know, there's some spots on the ranch real hard to get to without coordinates. But.
I think
there's fees to file with the FCC. Everyone suggested that we not do the fees with the FCC the first year because why spend, it's going to be approximately $600 in fees. Why spend $600 in fees when you don't have the equipment to use yet? They get it up, get it running, get it right, then you know exactly what you're filing for with the FCC, and that would be in next year's budget. Thank you. So that way it's...
Is that a one-time fee?
The FCC, yes, it's a one-time filing fee. We'll still have the things every five-year renewal frequencies, which we have been paying ever since we've owned frequencies, which is a good deal then. Thank you, Dale. So that, he definitely got it. He did go when we got those frequencies. So it's something
not,
we
can run. Not the radio, it's for a new bill. A radio, what? About the cost? We're not really.
Right. I actually saw a new one for about $150. That's more of a higher end one that you would need. $50. But they might not be. I need to see what he got you and see if they can go to the frequencies that we're on. A radio doesn't cover everything, but I'm pretty sure it does. Still quote me.
I have them. If you want to look at them after the meeting, I can get one for you, please.
Okay.
Okay. Anywhere from 50 to 150.
Yeah, I'm going to say 50 to 150
on the radio. I think that is a
reasonable amount.
Reasonable deal, but you know that Dale's up there, he can have a way to get out to you. Or somebody. Hey, listen, you know what?
or you call me and I radio him.
Yeah.
I'm liking that idea because my dad's up there all the time. I'm getting concerned about him and his health, and I think Bob or I took care of my dad on that one. But
we've enjoyed having you met there all summer. I think that's going to say at least we can email that one.
Yeah, we're going to work on the email probably to send the next year because the radios are instant. They're safety. You can call her. I need help now. I'm on this road. Not when you go to my lot and get on my email, and there's still going to be that fire.
Our Usenet is our fast.
Yeah.
We have the internet. So.
Well, yeah, there's a spot out there. There's other places that can hit it. So I'm going to work on that in the following year and getting people the equipment or telling them what they need to get and following them on that. Radio incident now, you're in your car. Like Bob will test it on this. I'm not sure.
The new radios are like this big.
Yeah, they're nice. Cool. That's great.
The interesting thing when we're on our ranch tour, our cabin tour, Linda made a phone call.
Oh, I heard
from Devin. So
I heard.
It was on the radio. It was on the trucker's radio. Yes. Oh, I know, but it came off of his trucker's antenna off the cabin.
I thought
he said he didn't. Oh, he did. He had the trucker's.
Oh, yeah, he did. Okay.
No, Alan
had an
antenna.
He's got the Aggie.
But he didn't have the Aggie up. He had, but it came off the trucker's.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
So didn't
have to plug in.
Rod Johnson took our phone with our
it's a radio.
No amplifier, just the trucker antenna plugged into the back, and there's service all the way up and down that there. Sure. I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing
it's something. Promising. That's good. Yeah. Communication is really important.
For safety. Anything
else? That's about it. I'm not saying about the shoes now. They will let you sit down. You only use it. Tell them I'm not going to ever need it. And then just send it. So when you're one of my out there, you don't want to pay for it. Larry does online. He has classes that when he's out there working and staying out there at night, he does his classes and stuff. You know, I mean, he got internet full time. And we hope to figure out how to plug the phone in and how, you know, get
Mm-hmm.
You have to advertise it. You can't do that.
You can video chat. You can.
Where are they?
From Jody, Brent,
as long as there's conflict, I don't plan to move forward with the water until that's resolved.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat water out there available, guys. I think whatever issues we've got, we need to get over them. I reviewed the, I looked at some issues, some things there with Dale last weekend when we were there. There's a lot of water we could be really improving on the branch if we'd come together, and I think we agreed to work with Dale, and he's got them out. And I did, like, it was cold last weekend when we were in there, but we still got on the quad, and we went up there and looked at the water and the amount that's there to collect. It would be fabulous, and it would be a big benefit to a lot of the members throughout the ranch. It'd be easy. There is a lot of water. I was kind of blown away during the last meeting with members Dale was throwing about the water, about how much water is still in there, and then he took me out there, and said the water he told us is there. It's there to catch it.
You know, we've been working on that for 8, 9, 10, 11 months now. And you're right, there's a lot of water, and we could do something with that, but it just needs to be done the proper way.
We need to.
And we have been working with that, Dale. We've been working really hard on that.
We're doing it the proper way.
Well, we're trying to do it the proper way. You don't want to do it the proper way?
Yes. I
want to
do it the proper way.
Okay. So, you know, we had a meeting with Ben and Dale and Vance and myself, and it went really well. We made good progress. And then, since then, we haven't had a meeting, and we've communicated with you a couple times, had a meeting, we haven't had a meeting. So it really can't go anywhere, and really can't get any better until we can get you on board to have meetings with us. And you're shaking your head no, so to me, like, the water is a dead issue until you come around that we can get together and meet.
I'm not coming around.
Okay.
The water goes a dead issue. Who do that mobile system, you come around, fine. I know what has to be done.
And we've all got the same policies and procedures that are required to do the water system. We just need to get together to implement them. But we just don't have the cooperation. And I think right now we can't get the circle together to have our meetings to move forward. So until we can do that, it's kind of dead.
Yeah. I don't work well in conflict. As long as some of you are in conflict.
We're not in conflict.
Your main question was not in conflict.
You know, it was factual. I don't want to get into that, Jim. I'm just saying, unless we all get
totally
together, it was not at all.
Everybody here could read one paragraph.
And everybody could hear it. You know, and sit down there and show them paperwork to go along with their agenda. But leaving that behind, if we want to move forward on the water, we have to get together as a water committee, and we have not done that since the new board was put in place, and even a month before that. With Ben there, it helped a whole lot. We can communicate much better. If we don't want to do that, then we need to do something different with the water committee.
Okay, that's my report. Mark.
Okay. We're going to move on. We don't have Ben with us here again.
How is Ben doing, by the way?
Yeah.
Good.
Good. That was a fast recovery.
They're not fully recovered, but they are.
That's a serious thing.
I guess if we move into the cabin facilities and maintenance, we'll go over that in my report in just a little bit. Dave was going to try to teleconference with us.
Let me make a comment on item 10, agriculture. Most farming operations during the summer and fall get their land ready for new crops.
Yes.
Here's a report on the acreages that were worked in 08. And we kind of ignored them in 09. And 09 is when we did some farming. But in having about 400 acres of farmland on the ranch, the farmers would normally get that land ready for the next year.
We begged, borrowed, shouted, and other things. And yet, in 2 years, only, I would say, maybe out of the 400 acres, maybe 30 acres has been worked. As long as we have that kind of follow-through, we're not going to do much at Deer Springs Ranch. I spent several $1,000s with another contractor getting some of the areas ready. We have put about all the pressure that we possibly can to get the fields worked and the willows cut and the areas mowed. Last night we bought a tractor and a mower and a snow blower and other things to work Deer Springs. I'm very concerned that with everything that we've talked about and done to basically have a zero as far as use of our equipment at the ranch and things that need to be done. So I think it's up to the board to decide where we go from here, what happens. When you look at 400 acres and 20 or 30 acres has been worked in 2 years, and board members, everybody should be a little alarmed and ask why. Same thing is true with the to have given, and part of it was good judgment, the management of Hugs cattle so that they're kept in a place until they finish the feed. I was shocked when they opened the gates. They're putting feed in the wet meadow, they opened the gates and ruined a lot of the pasture down below. So we had cattle running over hundreds of acres instead of what it should have been. So in our agriculture area, I think we've got to decide on whether we use that land and how and when. As a old-fashioned cattle ranch with an income of $10,000, how could the Tenney family raise their kids and everything that they did on only an income of $10,000? So I think that our fields need to produce. I think the water needs to be utilized. I think there's things that should be done and should be done. I'd almost like to remove myself. This is the 11th ranch that Pat and I own. So we've been in a long time. We know what ranch work is, has done. And I'm almost embarrassed to be associated with Deer Springs when it comes to water, cattle, and agriculture. So, whether that's worth, we've been in a lot of years, we know what could be done and what should be done, and what we were moving toward with the Johnsons on that. So, whatever we need to do to try and get the ranch so that it is producing rather than I'm concerned when we get in the budget whether we've got to increase our annual fee to cover our requirements rather than causing the ranch to produce a better cash flow.
Dale, what would you think that, what should we be producing on those lands that you think, I'm not a rancher, I'm not a farmer, could you enlighten me on that? What should we be producing as far as, are you talking cattle, food, or
When, when we bought the ranch, Jody, people here in town were excited, and many of them said, you know, that ranch raised more hay than almost any other property in King County. They said families had haystacks all over. Now, I wasn't there. I didn't see the haystacks. I do know areas that they cut hay off of, and they irrigated, and they did different things. They planted, they worked, you know. And so that's one. We suggested Christmas trees. I don't know that much about the Christmas tree industry. There are other crops that we could put in up there.
So crops that we could resell and have more income.
Yes.
Okay.
Crazy, and I don't know anything about it. There's an article out there that says there's a meat goat that is replacing cattle. And we should do some research on that. Whether 100 goats up there would be in areas where the 100 cattle are not. And so they're just ways. There are articles all the time on ways that we do it. I just mentioned that. So it doesn't take a lot of time here, whether it be Christmas trees or whether it be hay. They used to cut hay out of the wet meadow up there. And our vegetation needs to be changed. We now grow a bunch of worthless grass in the meadow because it's too wet. And so there are crops that we can use.
We worked the land enough years ago that we demolished the kept control of the brush, grass brush and sandy brush, and we actually had a certified crop of crested wheat. We actually cropped it quite well.
Took $15,000 worth of crested wheat seed off the ranch one year.
Yeah.
Not a bad deal.
No. Those are profits, no. This is kind of a different concept than when I came into the ranch, which was, 7-8 years ago. I didn't buy into a ranch as far as crop growing, and this is a different concept for me. I came out here as a recreational property, and then I'm out here for peace and quiet and beautiful scenery. So, for me, like, okay, so I can just come over there, but it's really nice that we can make money off of it. But as far as growing crop and like that, you know, hey, if we can make money off of it and it's profitable, and it keeps your feet in.
It has to be because something has to happen here. We're going to find out here in our budget that we're in trouble, and we need to make some changes to create some money. These changes all bounce off of doing more with our agricultural control, doing things to grow some of these crops, utilize our water, and stuff like that. Without that stuff, we used to make a lot more with cattle and with our own crops.
And the amount of water in the upper part of the
meadow
could do a
farm. We'd eat a lot of alfalfa.
So here I think is a little analysis of just what you said. Most of the people, most farmers, are thinking of a place to come and play. They could care less about whether machinery works. They could care less about, you go to a motel, you're not interested in a leaky faucet, you're not interested in the spots on the carpet, you're not interested in the front lawn. I did this and we anticipate most people are interested in a lot, and they take care of the taxes and the land. They hope there's water, and they need a road to it. And that's basically what most of the people are interested in. Are they interested in employees? No. Are they interested in taxes on the common ground? No. Farming? No. Development? Roads, cattle, subdividing, meetings, annual assessments,
equipment repairs, building repairs, and maintenance. Most of our people could care less about whether the motel has a sign in front of it or doesn't have a sign in front of it. They go there for a good bed. I think most of our people at Deer Springs, if we categorize them, most of them would be in the one thing, their lot, and how to get to it. And otherwise, leave me alone.
That's it.
So these other things are things that are behind the scenes that still need to happen. And be carefully thought out by people. So I think if we think about that in terms of our budget, that we don't burden some people with things that they're not going to listen to us.
And they don't care about.
They don't care about. And that's a reality I think we need to accept.
Ultimately, without these things that people don't realize are behind the scenes, without this stuff there, the common member is just going to see more higher assessments because we have to cover all these things.
This is our number one problem that we have in the ranch. Because there's all these members that want to micromanage, and they don't know a thing about what's going on. And that's where we have our big issue, I see, because they don't understand what has to happen to make the ranch run.
A lot of them
and
don't.
Everybody wants to get the 2 cents in, but nobody knows anything about it, so they just take it. They just try to stop everything else that's going on. And so that's been our big main problem all these years.
Nobody wants to see change.
Right?
Nobody wants to stay the same way it is, but nobody wants to. Nobody can see past that thing, what you're saying.
No, I think it's a great analysis. Yeah,
very good.
It's always been that way.
It's always.
Well, the more members you get, the more somebody else wants to put the 2 cents in. And it says keep putting cogs in the wheel so you can't get anything done. That's why we keep saying.
Well, is there some
for the let the board work? That's the hard
having a sign of ownership, and as long as they have a road they can get to their property,
they're pretty much happy.
They're happy, so how can we unburden them with the rest of this stuff?
Well, I don't think if most members were really concerned, they would be following every meeting, doing it. They don't really care. They don't show up the meetings. Only when there's conflict and somebody has to raise hell about something, then all of a sudden everybody jumps in and gives their 2 cents. They don't know anything in the meantime.
What's wrong with you having your lot and you're on road and the rest of it goes away?
And you don't have to pay a lot of fees if it produces its own. You're just a member. You're there.
It's
very reasonable if you allow things to be. It is. If you allow things to develop. You have so many great ideas and plans that can be developed.
They all start right here.
But you gotta.
We as a board need to come together. We need to move on these
things. And make it pay for itself. That's what he's saying.
If none of the members want to, did we get a report on the survey
for
Mills presentation? We had people.
Anybody turn back in their papers?
One.
Got yours.
I got one.
Well, I think
this is exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so none of the members really care.
Are concerned. They don't know what
the board, we need to go ahead
and that's not a criticism.
They don't know what they want.
How do we do more the program?
And I think the newsletter tells them so much, and it's all in there for them to read, but they're going to read it. And even my husband likes to read it, but he's not going to get involved in anything.
That's right.
We don't
start moving on something. These are the things we need to cover this.
Right.
Okay? Nail it on the head, and if nobody else wants to come, if other members want to come about and do something, we as a board just go ahead and
that's the way I feel about the activity, because I don't want to put a big burden in for activities. I'm just going to pay it myself. Because until we get people that are actually active, I don't want to put anything in the budget. We've got stuff we got to do. And there's things that can be done that don't cost a lot of money.
And I'm going to say, you know, if you're
really interested in doing that.
Somebody wants.
Right.
So why
go with
the effort?
Yeah. Beat your head against the wall. So that's what I'm saying. There's some awesome things that could happen.
There is.
And Dale's got some great ideas. And if we don't make that, this ranch productive, then we're not very good stewards of the land.
And we're driving members. Well, some real good input, people.
It's more of a sport, and it'd be nice if all each member could go to the smartest board and choose what they wanted to eat and go to the table and eat and feed and all be friends. Yeah.
Well, I think that's what they're all thinking right now. That's why nothing's going anywhere.
Right. Because we're all trying to force everybody to do all the same thing, and we're not. We have different agendas.
We do.
Yeah, right. And we can change within ourselves. We change from the time, you know, when we had little kids and all up there working together to what we are today. I mean, our own lives change and our appetites change and our needs change, our ability to perform changes. So we need to look at what we can do. Each individual, and we'll be honest and say, I don't care about the hay crops or the cows or whatever. Just let me have my piece of property and my whole camp and bump up out a road to it. It'd be nice to just have some water. That's really all I care about.
But they really care about when you drive out and down they see the reservoir and come watering.
Yeah,
pay attention to that. When we had the field that had the grass coming up, it was really awesome to see. I mean, nobody can say that, but they think it's just going to happen by itself. Electricity comes out of the switch in the wall, you know? I mean, people just don't understand the behind the scenes, and they want everybody to do too much. Telling everybody what to do and how to do it.
Used to be impressed with that battle going over there, right where you see the ranch. All you can see is nothing but grass over the whole airstrip and down and around over towards the Danielsons, and it was like, I own this.
That's
one of the prettiest places on the ranch, too, that little crest. Yeah. Over,
like,
oh, hey, can you imagine seeing nothing but pure grass there?
I think
it's so. Unless we planted it, there was no maintenance.
But
Taffy is so right about that. You know, we give them a place that if they're going to come, we're going to see it. We can't put their values, we can't put values in their head. But if we do things like crop and stuff and we can prove to them that this is going to be financially beneficial to the ranch, then they might buy into it, or and maybe they might not care anyway. But they could buy into it.
The Christmas tree thing is a great idea, number one, because they grow really fast, and it's a crop that you don't have to do.
Very little rancor.
Yeah, you don't have to change. You plant it, it's there. And because of the area and the altitude that's there, that we don't have to water, you know? I mean, it's just a natural thing. So to be able to put that in and harvest that crop.
Well, yeah, talking about preserves out there, you know, while we can't hunt deer or anything like that, it can, and there's government programs that will assist and help you to plant birds for people to go
plant birds or whatever.
Maybe plant some peacocks.
Yeah. We're getting ready to get rid of the peacocks, right? One other thing is all those trees down Fredonia was my mother's Christmas tree farm. We took them and donated to the city, and all the big trees that are in Fredonia down Main Street came out of our backyard.
We used to plant a lot of trees together, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Plant a lot of trees up there.
And don't call me a stickler, but the way I function business wise to do these things, I'm like, Christmas trees might be a great idea. But let's do it. Study out. Let's figure out how much it costs. Let's figure out how much the labor. Let's do the numbers on it to know what we're talking about before we dive in.
Very true.
And that's, I think, we need to do anything we do. And let's, hey, it's a good one. Let's put it in there. But let's do the research on it.
In most cases, government told them to gamble. Well, supply the tree. They'll give you the tree.
Yeah, the seedlings are like a dollar.
Yeah.
You know?
And your mom gives them a
dollar. Every weekend we went to town, I think Joey would always bring back.
And we go up and plant them around your spring.
We went everywhere, all over their property, all over the whole ranch. The whatever it was, that cut wood or whatever.
We had to plant trees.
That means Joey would say, trees.
Okay, so those trees, are they still growing?
Heck yeah.
I'm sure. They're growing.
We never marked them as one of them, but I mean, yeah. We kept track of several of them for quite some years.
Because we need trees desperately up at ponds. We need some trees throughout the ranch. What are some good hires?
Well, I think it would be, you know, easy thing to do.
It's the altitude. I mean,
they grow well. It'd be so easy to do, so cheap to put in. If we put around where we have our easy water that could be tended.
Then they grow fast.
And then the water really makes them go fast. If you put them up, they'll grow. But if you put them to grow, you put water on them, they'll take off like.
In the last 2 years, when we come to the budget meeting, or probably the month before the budget meeting, they've been talking about buying seeds and putting it on the property, and that you need to do it in the fall. And I'm not a rancher, so I don't know exactly what seed that was all about. That it has to be done in the fall, and then but in the fall, we're out of money, so we don't spend and buy that seed. So how can that be rectified so that we can plant these crops and
buy it in spring.
You need it in the fall if that's when it needs to be planted, or have it for the spring. That would be easier to buy.
We can pick it up, but it's still the same. There's a lot of prep we have to do before that, before anything. Right now, we are so upside down behind on our prep. Our fields need to be mowed something drastic. We need to create an area to. If we get rid of that brush and stuff like that, we're going to have more feed coming up for our grazing for our cattle, which is going to make our cattle ranchers more happier. We're fattening up their cattle that much better.
But that's going to bring more income to us. It's just going to be expense, right?
But right now,
we already have a contract. We're just getting X amount of money.
Okay, but the longer we go, the deeper it's going to be for us to get back out of it.
We have to
get on top of these things and maintain these problems now.
If you're talking about crops to grow to make income, those are certain areas on the ranch that we will plant and the cattle won't go on until after we've mowed it, correct?
What about the ones that were already owned by Johnson? Because they didn't have any water, they were doing dry farming. Those have already been, all the sagebrush and everything has been taken off. They just need to be maintained, and then they need to see that.
When you see it, you can't just put cows on it.
Absolutely.
That was kind of like when you come down into the ranch, those two fields right there. Dirk said don't touch those.
Yeah, but all that he said you can't put meat, you can't mow.
If you look at it, there's nothing growing. I don't know. Did he ever come back with anything on that? He was supposed to have somebody from the state looking at that. But those should have been mowed. We knew nothing was going to grow there.
These are the kind of questions that every farmer has to face. Every farmer across the United States, especially in arid countries like this.
Right.
They're difficult decisions, but many have made it. Many have come up with the right decisions, the right schedule, and the decision. We just get lazy sometimes and say, gee, I don't know how to get there from here. So let's not do anything.
We need to be able to control, huh? Hey, these areas here, we're going to be working for better crops. So we got to, you know, you got to stay off of it for a while.
Well, and that's what we said last year. But if we go in, I mean, what we've done over the last 2 years, if we go in and totally pile that up and do a whole new thing, then that was a waste of money that we spent 2 years ago. I'm just a plan from where we have it.
Yeah. Like the well field. If we're going to ditch the well field and plant something that needs time to germinate, time to come up and time to replant, you know, we can't run ducks and cows on that. He knows that. But what are we going to do as far as prep? One, you know,
that'd be one of those alfalfa fields.
2 years in a row, isn't it? 2 years in a row. You know, we've talked about seed. The year in the fall, which
there's
is
no
the
time money.
We go in, and we're short on money, so it doesn't go in.
Right.
I think Shelly had it right. Let's buy the seed in the spring.
Yeah.
And, you know, put it in the silo.
Keep it away from the rats.
I don't know what kind of seed you keep that long, but maybe set aside some money for that, you know.
that is paid for it, that will look where it's involved.
That's a good idea.
Kind of already germinated, like ready to go on the ground and go.
Yeah, a lot of stuff like that, we need to bring that up in our, thing. We need, I think we need to get right off. We've got to get that budget situation good. Let's get past the maintenance. Dave Shirley's not here. Dave is working hit on the maintenance anyways on my report.
I talked with Dave yesterday, and he's taking seriously probably resigning. He said, I've been here for 2 years. We haven't done very much. We still talk about replacing the culvert or things that really don't impact the ranch in much of any way. He's been very diligent. He's spent a lot of time there. He's brought his crew down. They've done different things. They've built all the buildings except, I guess, number 3. And that needs to be built now. Metal's there. And to do the pavilion. But I said today that pavilion will never be built unless you come down and pour the concrete. So he's discouraged, and you guys may decide to encourage him to stay on or go off, because it is expensive to come down, and he just felt that we don't follow through on the things that we vote on. Just almost comical. I pulled the minutes from, I believe it's a May meeting, and the same things that are on that agenda that are on the same thing now. And we're expecting Joe Mose to do the catalog after 2 years. You know, so we need to update our agenda, restructure it, decide whether it's worth any of our time to come to the meetings and see things that Dirk said specifically do these things in July, and they're still not done. So as a board, we've got to decide on how do we cure that.
Well, I have a great idea. We need to have somebody body seat to make sure that these things are done. When we leave, we all have these great ideas, but we don't ever
help. That's our jobs.
Well, I think Mark has done a good job. I haven't read through this list that you put together, Mark, but I really think you're on target as far as some of the observations that you've made up there, and you particularly know what it's been during the last 30 years. So I think that we're going to see, John, I think we're going to see some aggressive leadership on Mark's part to accomplish those things. And it's not going to be easy, but I think you have our support and loyalty to College Bay State.
There might be some toes stepped on, but we're going to make this thing. We've got to get this thing rolling. There has been too much neglect. It's either this thing's going to go away or we're going to make this thing actually turn around and work. I think we all want to make this thing work. Anything else on that from anybody before we jump on that as well? Okay. Our 12, legal and public safety, Jody?
Nothing. I'm sorry, Jody. There was a very important document on our protective covenants that was supposed to be recorded the last 2 years. And I think it was finally forced to be recorded 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah. That was on the duration of law.
Where is the recorded copy?
I have it. I think Dirk got it from that. They sent it to you. I believe that. If that's one.
Okay.
If it's the one you're speaking of.
Is the one with the 10 acre?
No, it's one of two cabins.
It's going for a lot.
Oh, that's what I meant.
I don't know what records you have, but.
She has the sign. It was signed by the county. It's done. Dirk filed it. It's recorded.
Where is the copy?
Linda said she
I believe I have a copy of that. I believe that's what I'll read through. I'll find it if you want.
I would very much like that.
Yeah, we would all like that.
Can you scan that and email it to the board?
That's a very critical document.
Yeah, it is.
I look for it. and I didn't know.
Oh, no, it's just like when the last thing you served had before, well, at the annual meeting, he said it was done. He sent an email to everybody and said that it was filed and recorded.
Yes, he did.
But I was wondering.
The original.
Yeah, he got lost. Did he get lost?
But it had to be filed. He did it, but then it has to come emailed back to somewhere.
Yeah.
So somebody has to have it.
Right, so Linda, maybe you have it.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up. All right, I'm going to jump into my general report. I just gave everybody a copy of it. I'm going to skip real fast through the ranch tour.
Do you want me to throw it on somebody's computer and you can just post it? That's the same thing you got here.
What, the pictures?
Mm-hmm. That's okay. You've done a good job breaking it down.
Let's just go through real fast because I know we're pressed for time. We got a lot to do yet, people. We really got to move. And I still have some things I want to throw out there for the board. Real quick, in cabin number one, ceiling fan, the cabin ceiling and the main floor. A lot of it is real light.
It's paneling. This needs to be nailed down and glued down.
Something that's real easy to do. Just on the main floor, was there a main problem?
Too,
hey, real quick, I'd just like to say thanks for a list like this.
Yeah. I mean, as your wife said, you know, sometimes you guys really don't see the thing. So this was not we're not trying to go to the critique. What do we see that you're not going to see? And she said this would be very helpful for you guys, and absolutely it's going to be that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Nancy made a comment about...
Oh,
okay. I guess one of you guys made a comment about the antifreeze and toilet. Not dark enough.
Is it still in it?
It is. I have these bottles on the back of my truck for a week, and the sun likes leaks them, so they're kind of like clear liquid.
I was just curious if they're strong enough.
No, I thought they are.
Okay. All the doors inside need major adjustment along with better ceiling abilities. Wood trim needs to be added to cover where the insulation on the main floor window was replaced. It'd be simple to do. Basement floor needs a major repair. Water line and cabinets exposed. It's probably, you know, anybody walking over it with a griddle with a cold is going to snap and break it. Animals, deer going through there, whatever. We suggested the paint and trim is basically really needs to be done. Suggest we use some dirt and do some kerosene to help build up and control some erosions and beautification on the area. Jumping in number two, pretty much seeing we have a hole in the southeast that's causing critters to go in. We even had a guest in the toilet.
Can we back up for a sec? Yeah. I noticed it's on number two, too. Trees to be moved away from.
Oh, yes, trees. There are the fires. That's
they're dead down trees, Elaine.
No, I'm talking about actually ones that
we'll
have.
Oh, trees. So then we have a
30 or 40
foot.
Okay. Springs around.
Okay. When John Southwick was president, you know, he said that, and I started cutting trees, and everybody was like, whoa, wait a minute. And then, don't do that.
You have to have a 40-foot clear-cut area for the fire protection, according to your code.
Is that something we want to do? I'm all up for doing that. But understand what that's going to do.
Well, I don't know.
Something we want to do.
Yeah.
I personally am very upset about the weed while the fire code of the county is undoing part of that. We have trees around to shade and beautify and to clear cut because some secretary in Salt Lake thinks
that we should do it.
If a fire comes through there, 40 foot is not going to save the county.
Right.
Well, I've taken on some of the caps and taken the oak brush that kind of really crept up and cut it back. But, you know, back when they said cut 30 feet and no problem, but then it was, whoa, wait a minute. I think it was on cabin four, the one that I did it on. Just kind of cut. It wasn't 40 feet, but I can see what 40 feet
there's some spots that it's really right next to the house. It's rubbing the house, it's rubbing the roof. some areas need to be trimmed up to,
yeah.
And we can decide on that as a board.
I think the lie is, Mark, that the ranch is grandfathered in, and I don't think we have to do that. It's only on, like, you've got new construction if the county comes out.
I think you're right, because some of the trees that are leaning over
and
kind
of happening. Well,
Rural, urban, urban world. Yeah.
Anyway, it's really moving on. Yeah, I've always wondered that night. Are some
trees that should be trimmed?
Yeah.
Good judgment.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, hey, that limb needs to come up, or that tree needs to come out. But this 40-foot circle, 100-foot circle.
The heat alone, when the fire comes through there, is going to take it up.
Yeah.
Whether or not anything else can cross.
I'll
set a fire is my area of responsibility. I will follow through upon that, and then I will address the board on that and see what the picture is. We are okay. But, yeah, it was nice to have a windbreak, a sound break, and a sun break.
The break between the two cabins.
Cabin two. You know, you sit on the deck of cabin two, and there's some nice, fine juniper on the side. Somebody did come through.
We had to wait for the other guy to cut in.
Well,
but those boats outside the door, they're going
to be in there. One of the lot owners, cabin two, cut some trees and left. Spikes like this.
Ooh.
And then, you know, the branch that came off of the side left it out like that.
Those been addressed?
They've been addressed, some of them, yeah.
Let's move real fast to the thing. I'm just going to read through these things. So these are just things. You know, the cabin two, southeast, roof has a hole in it. Wild critters come in. We need paint. We got flooring in the main floor. The ceiling, same thing. Handrail going upstairs. It needs to be secured down better. We talked to the board up there about the possibility of making this like a winterized cabin, one of the winter cabins to use, maybe just sheetrocking over all the stuff to help hold the paneling in, to make it better insulation value, to make the beautification of it a lot better. Be easy to seal up the bottom of the cabin for winterization for that. All the doors, need major adjustment, repair, and TV ceiling. I mean, the ceiling that we've talked about these doors, a lot of it is adjustment. And some weather stripping. It would be easily done. So, cabin three, the sign to...
What do you think of the deck on cabin two?
Beautiful. And somebody said, now she told us that somebody was adopting the cabin. She got the floor and what?
That was in
four? Oh, seven, four, okay.
Cabin three, the sign between cabin two and three was broken, just laying down, kind of an angle. Needs to be with TLC. The water line to the cabin is exposed. Exterior stairwell, major repairs need to be re-roofed.
We need to do something like that.
I've got an idea there. Doors needing to be adjusted also, serious paint. Stairwell to the parking lot that goes up. We talked about some terracing to control the erosion control. Needs a new floor there. The bedroom downstairs also has a big old massive salt underneath there because of the thing.
I was told that was a bear.
Be secured. Starting to pull away from the building a little bit. There's woodpecker holes on the east side.
I did notice on that. But somebody had put a little piece of metal in behind
that. There are some others that weren't.
Yeah.
The main thing, the reason why that thing has all the problems with that, with the stairwells going up and down the thing, and why the house has problems it does, is because all the dirt is built up where the water is running into the cabin. We need to slope the water away from the cabin. We need to go back in there and dig some of that out and channel. I had some ideas to talk about up there, like a French drain over there to get the water away from it and move it out.
Same thing with cabin four.
That's ruining the floors and everything. Same thing with the trees there. Cabin four, there's a whole bunch of wood debris. Remember when we pulled up into the parking area, there's a whole bunch of down trees right there in the parking area piled up that needed to be cleaned up and moved. We got the wood flooring. But cabin four is what we've said somebody's adopted. They want to put a new stove or a new floor in that one for us, so that's great. well appreciated on that one. There's some electrical outlet boxes that are just exposed, even though we don't have electricity there. It's simple cover to go over the box so we don't see the wires. The old septic system, some of the deck needs to be screwed down. The handrail needs to be secured a little bit better. The old septic system, they put a replacement in there. There's still some septic sewer pipe that's laying out there in trees that needs to be been taken away.
Is that sewer pipe something that could be used for what you were talking about? It's just white. It's just a white sewer. It's not really. It can't be used.
It should have just been when they took the system out. They forgot to pick that one up out of there.
Gotcha.
Down away.
No, it's just it's about 10 feet
off.
20 feet maybe from the cabin.
Off, well, yeah, as soon as you drop off the end, it's like 10 feet off the end.
Right.
If we jump down into cabin six. Table around the campfire can easily be fixed before it becomes a firewood issue. Strong gas odor. Needs a new stove. Paint outside the cabin. The front door. What?
The new stove. That wood stove or that kitchen?
That kitchen stove.
Okay. Yeah. Needs paint on the inside too. That was the one that was dark.
Right. He's got it down.
Most darky.
Front door and headquarters need to be repaired, which is just really easy cosmetic front boards. Screen on the sides where it's just dangling off there needs to be secured down. Doors need to be adjusted and sealed better. Trees, again, seven had another strong gas smell. When we entered the wall heater needs to be replaced. Painting on the porch and eaves.
One year brand new life.
It doesn't need to be fixed. She said it wasn't working.
She said there's issues with it. Peacock droppings all over the porch and balcony. Finer ceiling repairs, same as what we talked about before. The handrail, down the lower 3 feet section of the handrail, somebody's going to push on it, it's going to break. It'd be easy to put just a little clasp on there to make it done. The kitchen light, the gas kitchen light, looks like it's caught on fire. None of the fire markings were wiped off or cleaned, and it's just easy. Had a heavy vice dropping in the water heater closet, front door adjustment, ceiling, front deck repair. Concrete pillars eroding away. Somebody put some big posts in there trying to help secure it, but still the weight of those concretes, they're going to start pulling the rest of that deck downhill. We build a little something around there, frame, pour a little river, a little concrete, and we pour these pillars on this one and on the next one as we go into here. I think would secure that up better. Plus, we talked about hauling a little dirt in there and doing a little front terrace to help cut down some of the corrosion that's going down the hill, and maybe even putting a trail going down in there. Some of the fire alarms, I tested a few at random. I didn't find a fire alarm working yet. The center E, so again, last peacocks.
We're just missing that one.
Yeah, the center height, the top center fell off right there. Where at?
On cabin 8,
this is very cheap.
I'll show you. I got pictures of all
this stuff. Yeah, it just fell off, and Alan there has it. Been there on the porch, I think. Or somewhere right there. It just happened while I was there. It was dangling down the porch. Totally fell off. He set up and removed it. Jumping into cabin 9, outside paint. Need the gas heaters. Need to be replaced. Need some mattress, window screens, door adjusts. So we talked about on 9 and 10, possibly winterizing them, put some skirting around there and doing something around the pipes to make it for winter use cabins. Have some right close to headquarters. Probably easy to do, and I don't think we'd have much into it. Cabin 10, as we'll paint inside and out. Needs a new stove in the kitchen, doors adjusted. So quick, everybody's got a copy of that. Sorry I didn't get that to you earlier. But I think my personal opinion on there, I think we're going to have a tight budget here, and we need to look real closely at how we can make this stuff go away. Y'all came up with a fabulous idea, and I'd like you guys to consider and think about it. It's maybe finding a handyman or something that actually wants to trade off some time that wouldn't mind just going up there and spending some time in the cabin, having some of our ranch things.
That's hard. I put for handyman.
And doing
I know some like good handyman that will come out.
If we can't get it done within our own means, maybe we can find somebody to do that.
I don't think. I mean, other than some of the big things like painting inside and out, that would probably take one guy all summer, or the better part of the summer. But I don't think a lot of this stuff on here is something
I take
that you know, the winterizing, we've talked about this, winterizing 9 and 10. Why would we winterize 9 and 10 when 7 and 8 don't? I'm kind of in the process right now of trying to keep the garden cabin from freezing solid. The problems we have is the hot water heaters on that cabin on the outside. I can get 9 and 10, but I think having 6 might be a little better to see, you know, get that one up and going, because what I did in 7 and 8 is put the plumbing on the inside. Hot water heaters on the inside, plumbing on the inside instead of underneath the cabin. Makes sense. Put some straw bales around the heat traps. I don't know if you noticed on 7 and 8 last year, a heck of a time. It wasn't the pipes, it was the heat trap on the
drains,
the drains for the shower.
Is that all
there,
all
there, all there, all there. Just really, yeah. So I think 6, if we wanted to do something, 6 would be an easier cabin, and, you know, see about having 3 online through the winter.
You know what? 3. I need to point out that 7 and 8 aren't looking out for winter rising. Why would you spend time or money putting another one up?
Well, that kind of my little area I want to jump into here.
I honestly don't think it would cost all that much to get 6.
If the reservation for the only time those cabins really get used during the holiday, it doesn't be open to too much.
Well, I think if, you know, we start to load the range a little more, I think we, you know, start getting more people up there. It's nice to have the availability.
A good thing is if Linda or she wants to give me the records, I'll do it. I've plotted the cabin uses the last 3 or 4 or 5 years so that you as a board would know that this many of our members used them, this many did not use them at all, this many used them for how many days, this many didn't. And once you have that,
in the high season,
then you can say, you know, hey, we agree, why do spend more money on 10 cabins if we're only using 5?
Exactly.
Or why use more winter cabins if we're not using
Let's
make them still better and more reliable. And we know that because we've got a history.
Yeah.
And could we shut down, if our budget is tight, can we actually shut down 1 or 2 cabins until some of those other things are resolved and tighten up our usage in some of these other cabins? That does get into my little area of concern. So just a quick highlight. Everybody's got it in front of them. So when we look at this little budget right here.
I appreciate this from the board to me. I don't get to see a lot of this stuff. I go in, make sure the water's going, the hot water's going, the stove's working, the fridge is going, the fridge is clean. Nancy comes through, cleans everything, makes sure the rat poison's out. A lot of times we don't know these things until the members say, hey, you know, there's the paneling falling off on the upstairs.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We want to know what, you know, because if you're doing something repetitive all the time, sometimes you don't see something. Sometimes it's good to have a fresh set of eyes on it.
Yeah, and I don't know how old these cabins are.
Some of them are old.
You know, they're pretty old. I don't know how much money.
Part of the problem with the whole flooring on the whole upper cabins, and Dale might remember this too, because I talked to my dad about it, is that there's some concern when we first built them because we've used high-pressure treated wood and no ventilation underneath them, so there's no way to get air underneath them to circulate. And we built it right on the ground.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'll tell you this for a fact, cabin 2 is not going to fall off the cabin. We've got 14 pillars on that.
No, they redid
that. No. Anyway, let me jump on these areas of concern on our tour, that things have been bugging me and so forth, and I'm putting these out here real quick so everybody can think about those for later. I see some members are running chains, cables across the roadways, no reflective parkings or anything like that on them. Sometimes we come around the turn, whether on a four-wheeler or truck, something, and they'll do some damage, they'll get hurt, then where we go.
On a regular road?
On going into their properties. Some people don't know. There's a road going, but do they know it goes to your property? Or, where do they go when they turn off this road? Whether the kids are out riding the four-wheelers or whatever, somebody's going
to
get hurt. We need to put it out to the members on a thing, and or if we see the stuff while you're out and about, we need to put it and say, hey, we need to learn that episode. You put a chain or cable across your road, or even though it's on private, or when there's blocking the road in the private, I think, and you guys can please chime in, that somehow or another, some attorney is going to find out that this association problem and somebody's going to get in trouble on
my standpoint. If their lot is on fire, and I will run my truck up with the water on the back, and I don't see that chain, it could cause some serious damage.
Yeah, I've seen this over in the photo.
Yeah.
And
simple little ribbon or something.
Does that reflect?
Oh, I have them on mine, but it's nothing. It's just a little rope string across. You can pull it off.
Right. I mean, if you always have a big gate, metal gate, I don't think you need to have that. But if you have a triple cable or a chain going across,
it means what do you want on it? Already?
Some kind of reflective markings for safety.
Okay.
Well, nobody can run up my road very fast because you would make the turn.
Oh, yeah, that turn. There's over in the photo there in that dry lake bed there. There's several old trailers. It's an eyesore every time I go in there.
How does that get resolved?
It's way past code violation. Number one, back then we only had one living structure on the property at the time that they moved all those six or seven trailers in there. Not a one of them is livable. They're all
closed
down. My dad tells me the name all the time. I can't think of it.
It's on private land, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's wide open.
And
how does that get resolved? I know they've been trying to get rid of them, but how does that get resolved?
He's quite elderly. The wife has passed away. The children are just starting to get interested in you. So I think if you approach them, you get the family.
They've been trying to get rid of them. I know Shannon lives in the canyon. You need to talk to Al Speed about calling them out.
Yeah, because they've been using
I told them, I said, scrap it, and you can get my...
I have somebody up there who might scrap it out and tell them, call me. They might scrap them.
Yeah, we need to call through that something.
Can you take care of that? Are you talking about...
I don't know who Malay is, but...
Shannon Malay, lot.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Lot number 11. Okay, could you give me a phone number?
Yeah, I'd say the one. Yeah. Cabin occupancy reports, like Dale said there, would like to know weekly how many people got in there during the week, when they arrived, how long did they stay, you know? Are these guys come up for 1 day, 2 days? Do they bring 15 people up there? Is it just a husband and wife? What kind of abuse or what kind of usage are we getting out of cabins?
Do they reserve it for the whole week and only stay for the weekend?
I think that would be very key to know for us, you know, where that is. And I don't know if we have a place we can get on, Linda, that we can check that out as a board, too. Is there a password to get on there? What are we going to do to get a report or a weekly report or some kind of report? Some kind of occupancy. Dale used the word occupancy report or something like that. I think it would be great to have.
I can do that. Just tell me what you want.
I
think a weekly talk too often because we're not going to do it. I mean, if she could tell us what happened every week, if she could submit it, like at the beginning of the month, but that would be good.
They're checking out when they're bringing the linen in. Or whatever they check out.
Times, yes and no.
We need to know these things. I think it would be beneficial to us how we're spending our money.
Well, like, for instance, when Terry and I go out there, because we have a place in town here, we go off for a couple of days to come back in. Terry comes in every day and does work.
Right.
I stay out there by myself, but we're there in and out a lot, you know, in town. So as far as people leaving early, a lot of times they don't even know. When they're coming in late, they just go straight to the cabin or something.
Well, they go straight to the cabin. Sometimes they're breaking into it.
That's right.
Damaging stuff as they see to come in.
It's a problem.
See Paul.
It's hard to know how to rectify that, so. Okay.
As mentioned in the last board meeting, there's still a lot of items that are still not corrected. There's still that old Jeep and the water truck are parked in their headquarters. Main drive not moved yet. Concrete culverts are still there. And I think there's the majority of them are usable. Still unmoved. Paul said you can move them. Sorry.
Hey, you came out.
Yeah.
And you said you were going to get back to me. You never got back.
So I said we can use them. But you said you're going to put them all on the truck and move them up to all the other culverts at the top of the well field so they're out of that area there. So I'm like, okay. And I asked you if you can move them to Kubota, and you said yes, you can.
On the culverts, there's those big ones that feed up at the gravel pit.
Yeah.
But didn't we get 20 or 30 culverts from Arizona? I think you said they're all gone now.
No. No, there's, I got pictures of them. There's quite a few of them there. The metal ones, the concrete ones, right?
No.
And
I'd like to know where they went. Mike Duvall bought four.
Mike Duvall bought a few. Rod bought a few. The Sargents bought one.
Is that Jim, if they bought, what did they pay for them?
Yeah.
Yep.
He said, what did they pay for? Did they pay for them?
And Mike $400. No.
$100 a piece?
No, they were $200 a piece. A lot of them went into the ground. A few of them went out and mowed up.
I'm not aware it shows up on the budget at all that we got a couple of $1,000 off coach.
No, that wouldn't be on there at all because I did that report up through September, so we wouldn't have that.
No, I'm talking about Linda's report for last year.
Oh, okay.
Did you put it in a miscellaneous?
Bossy's looking that up. There's a lot of old farm equipment. I don't remember ever. You said you were going to think about some spots to put them. And there was, you said you were going to get back. I honestly just, if it's my
mistake. I know it's been mentioned, and it's been mentioned a long time, just get them out of there. They're eyesore.
Use the concrete ones?
Yeah.
Right,
they were. Yeah, we looked at them. Yeah. And the majority of them are usable. With the use of Larry's saw, like we talked about, it'd be easy to put these things, put them up together, and use them at various spots on the ranch.
And we have to determine where we're going to put them, but for the meantime, you want them at the top of the
ranch. We want to get rid of them because they're.
Do you know where
to put them? Okay. So I want to get those out of there. It's been an item on the agenda for quite a long time.
It won't be on the agenda next
week. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad you made a decision. Thank you.
We're moving forward. Like, we're going to make some headway on these things. There's a lot of old farm equipment that, you know what? A lot of people get attracted to a farm, to a ranch, because they see all the old equipment. Look up Johnson Canyon. You see all the fancy stuff sitting out there on the front of people's things. People get attracted to old equipment like that. It would be really easy to do to remove some quick brush and grass around those machineries. You know, if Paul Philip told me he wants to build up all the corrals to give a nice first appearance to the ranch, a nice appeal, well, you know, just a few moments around the rustic equipment would be a great
we have a weed eater.
Huh?
Can we have a weed
eater? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Walking through there with a plastic, a couple of brushes that are growing up through the thing they can do and throw right over in the ditch right there, and it's like a little quick weeder. I don't think it would take more than an hour or two to walk and clean up around those things. It'll be nice presentable.
Yeah, it'll go up the weed eater.
My husband takes photo tours out on the Skin of Palmer and the Stop Phoenix. He's at the ranch and shows people around the ranch, and they do a lot of photography and amongst that old equipment out there.
It's a big attraction to people, and it would draw people out there to come down to the ranch and shop and see these things. And this is what I really see. The Round of Pin area, I'm embarrassed. We do top the fence, trash debris everywhere. It would be really easy to continue that fence we just put up there. To wrap around the wrap pin right into the gate where you dropped out of the wash, that bet you we had close to enough material, and we saw all this material that's actually the fence there.
Or it's no posts.
But the majority of our cost is already there, I think. A lot of it. There's a lot of cost that would be, you know, it's not that far to wrap around and talk about appearance to the shop when you come around that thing into the ranch headquarters.
That was,
that fence was really good.
That was part 1B on my 5-part. Program.
I think that would be an easy wrap up there, Paul, to finish up. I think we need to look just a little bit of fun to put that in there. All the there's a lot of barbecue grills, steel door lock, and the tables actually that need to be taken care of in the cabin areas on the porches before they get totally destroyed. There's some of them that are broken, the trash just need to be removed before they totally fall apart and fall down in the trees and the weeds.
Are we getting rid of those?
Should
the barbecue grill?
The trash ones.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
But there's
look at. I think there's one or two. Maybe somebody that was going to fix those.
Your wife said they're way beyond fixable.
In the back.
Some of them. They just need to be, what's salvageable, I mean, you've got to look at it. I mean, really, a barbecue grill, a couple $100, if you're going to put any kind of money into it, your time, which you don't have, obviously, a mess up, and money, where do we really go with some of these things? We really need to look at some of those things.
Have the barbecue units been misused? Have they been damaged to vents?
Ones that I've been replacing, I've just been replacing because they've been old, sitting out in the weather throughout the summer, getting some bleach. I bring them in every winter.
Would it be wise that we take a little piece of cable or a small piece of chain and secure it to the post of the front of the porch?
I did that. They cut it off.
Yeah, I can see people just forcing them in on that.
I would say they take them out by the campfire or something, they get tipped over and just get to playing. And I want to throw out there.
I've had a field day with barbecues. We switched from propane to charcoal. Now it's like, well, do we deal with the ashes and coals, and or do we deal with people stealing a bottle at $15? It's actually $50 for a bottle.
Well, it has to be a lot of furniture. People have portable.
Maybe what we need to do is move them to headquarters at the customer center if they've never been, so they can check it out.
Have a deposit on them.
A lot of people come up with a car. And I got to be there to haul it up there. I don't mind doing that. What I've done is on cabin one and on cabin, on garden cabin, and I wanted to do it on all the cabins, is put a nice charcoal grill there. If people want a barbecue there, they can. If people want to bring their own barbecue, they can. It's a little bit of cost to the ranch. But I think a heavy-duty barbecue will last a lot longer than a $98.
We can sell
that. That's right.
Oh,
right.
I don't forget
$10
the
bag. Yeah, and the... Make some money on that. There it is. Well, that's doing that, then comes up the next item there. If you're in the cab, have ash cams completely full. It needs to be emptied somewhere and taken, and secured down before the winter so the winter snow don't destroy it.
You can dump them burying where you're at. They're just after they're in the can to keep them getting fires.
I don't think we want to dump the ashes in the backyard.
Well, I'm thinking if you dig a hole.
Or you take them down into the trees.
They're good for the whale. We used to put them in the garden spots and stuff like that, mulch.
Yeah.
It's nothing to think about there.
Cool.
They do need to be empty. They're gonna rust and all that stuff's gonna take a bottom of the brew those cans. It's gonna rot them right out. Well, they hold that moisture in there, and every one of them is real heavy. There's a whole bunch of snags and dead trees around all the cabins. These things can be used, Paul, for firewood. It also serves as good cleanup. For people around there, estimated, we eliminate the need to dry, clear the top forest, go get wood, there's deadwood along the road, everywhere, around the cabins and stuff. I think we need to concentrate on, there's no need for forest permits, a waste of time. I think if you go clear up on the forest, we've got to get that wood, if we've got it everywhere scattered out through, that would help us beautify the property.
I spent a lot of time cleaning up wood along the road, Meadow Canyon.
There's a lot of it there, metal head. A lot of wood there. A lot of good oak. Cabin culvert, cabin 9 and 10 still need just a little bit more, a little bit more work before it. I think still not water flow properly through. I think it needs a little bit more there so we can prevent
shoot work that I had done on there. I had Alan kind of dig that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think the problem I have there is there's so much water that comes through there and that's too small and cold. Coming back to the cement culverts, it might be a good spot.
very well, maybe.
But I'm going to haul them to the boneyard, and we'll figure that out.
Well, if that works, maybe you need to put one in there.
Well, I don't want to set it there and have it sit there.
Yeah.
Right, not put it in, okay.
Yeah, if we never get around to the project, then we're really looking at a nice sword going right over there.
It's another engine item next year.
Yeah. That could be done with maybe a little repair and going into that thing. There's a 24 feet of pipe that's laying in the.
Somebody dropped that off the other day, or a week ago. I don't know if I can see it, what that's about.
That there by the barbecue area?
Yeah, it's big steel.
Fire extinguisher, yes. Yeah, it's a piece of pipe. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. The rain is half of it covered already with dirt.
So we don't know who this is.
Get it out of there. Clean it up a little bit.
You said maintenance. I just bought fire extinguishers, brand new ones for all cabins. I know you can pay
to
have somebody come out and check them and inspect them. The ones I bought were, it was like a 5-year warranty on them. I check them, but I make sure that the fire extinguisher is there.
There needs to be a maintenance, like a sign off, like you go to the bathroom, and they're make a sticker that you put on there that you can sign off that it's been done. Something ever happens in the event, you need to have some kind of.
If it has a guarantee on it for 5 years, you just date it when you step it in the cabin, because it can go back on.
But it needs to be on your weekly check. We need to put a weekly check on there that we know that thing's been checked off on cabins, whatever.
Yeah.
I got somebody doing this. They're giving me a price to do all that, and I want to compare. Is it worth just having them serviced, or is it
a replacement?
Not replacement, just replacement.
A recharge.
You remember what that cost?
Are they 30 bucks
a sale? I got them on sale with fire alarms. I think I got the fire extinguisher and two alarms for $20.
And you can't pay them.
You can't get that fire extinguisher. Right. The size of it. What is the scheme?
$600, yeah.
Oh, that was really good.
I really was glad to see it because I've never seen fire extinguishers in the cabins.
There wasn't when I got there.
Yeah.
There wasn't ever hardly fire alarms.
Yeah,
carbon
monoxide.
Which that's your deck on here.
Yeah, smoke detectors. Yeah,
people take the batteries out and use them for their walkie-talkies or whatever. Flashlights. We're constantly putting batteries in.
And they take them out because they're bad cooks too.
Yeah. Merrick, we need to get them to check out the odors.
I got them coming. When you went into set in the cabin, hasn't been occupied for a while. A lot of times, the odor from the refrigerator just the exhaust from the refrigerator.
Yeah.
It's kind of, as you walk in, the refrigerator's right there. And there's no window or door coming this way, except for the front door. So when you walk in, it's kind of, and it's that cabin and cabin 8. Cabin 6, I talked to AmeriGas. They said the refrigerator was still running on gas. That was still in the line after I shut it off. It was weird.
My thinking was that with the valve that they have on the tank not feeding completely.
No, just the gas that was in the line. I just shut it off a day or two.
Because it was still exhaust, and we didn't understand why, because it was still using up the gas in the line.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's, those refrigerators, it's ammonia and hydrogen. And once that gas is mixed, it's cold, so it'll continue being cold until there's no heat source.
Well, that kind of comes into the next area. There was a smell coming off the refrigerator. It's a gas smell. Can it be vented outside?
Yes, but you don't want to do that. You have that pilot that's like this. And any kind of gust or anything makes that light go like this, and it will start to char and start to flicker like this and start to put soot on the vent or the flue. And that's when you start getting the smell. They said I've had issues, and I finally, with process elimination, have dealt with these refrigerators, torn them apart, and I'm helping AmeriGas with their issues on their refrigerators. You call Consul, they're in Brazil, they can't help you. Kind of a liability thing, I guess. That's what those refrigerators, they can't tell you how to fix the refrigerators.
Couple last quick things here. I was next to the debris north of that same circle by that pipe out there, and thing, there's a whole bunch of glazed panels. I think somebody said they're going to be used for like some kind of project around there.
We're going to build a wall right there.
Wall.
The
well, has that been over a year? No. Electric and water going down to your house?
It just did. But I insulated it. It's not going to happen. that PRV that has a copper line that goes this with a valve that goes to this little tiny filter. And it got cold enough to freeze that.
As a board, someone would done a change. Either call some additional help or get that done. Because that hole has been there, the insulation, we've talked about it for over a year. Not a big job, but to have that open in there for another year is just
okay. So,
who do you
suggest should help them?
The issue is, I need to dig it out. I don't have a big enough spoon to dig that big of a hole. I need to dig it out probably 8 feet by 10 feet to get my base down so I can start building up a block wall.
Who has one big enough?
Brent, Larry, Alan.
And what do you need that for?
To dig the hole.
Build a vault right there. We talked about building a vault.
Okay. If you build a 4 foot square vault, what do you need 10 or 12 feet for?
I have 8 feet from valve to valve. I built that manifold so I can shut everything off. Before this all happened, there was no valve to shut anything off. You had to go to the culvert up by the airstrip. So I kind of put in isolation valve and a bypass and that whole deal. So it's kind of large. But those panels, I think if I set them, you know, two on one side, two on the other, and, you know, it's just a temporary deal. But ultimately, I just wanted to build a vault. Brent said he'd donate 300 blocks, and I think somebody else had some more blocks that they were going to donate. To build it right the first time, I think to dig it out, do it right, it wouldn't cost all that much with donations of block with the time.
Would Brent do it? Can we pay Brent to do that, to dig it out? For Larry?
For Larry?
Yep. That road is solid. And the ranch house in the area down there had no water for 2 weeks.
Do we have a well?
Last year what I did is I put straw bales over it. It's fine. The straw bales on one side, straw bales on the other, and I used those panels to cover the top of it, and it never froze once. This year I hadn't gotten it yet. Woke up and Alan Steve says, hey, we don't have any water. Well, neither do I. So I went, tank's full, everything's going fine, there's no water anywhere. It was just that one little copper line thing. When the water comes in, the way it's reduced is it goes through that copper line, through the filter, through the reducer, back out, and it was just copper line. Froze up.
Well, I think those panels need to be secured up. How long would it take just to throw them on the trailer and move them to... No, they're right there. Everybody's waiting to turn around that circle.
In the way.
Aren't you going to use them this year to cover those grass bales?
Yeah.
They're just all scattered out there.
They were kind of in a pile. I moved one, and I think some kids were playing with some
of them. These are just eye sources, too. That's why I just wanted to bring the board to maybe some of you guys. There's just another eye seeing things around there.
Trying to have another set of eyes.
Some unused electrical outlets also in the lower cabins. That would be number 20 or something. You get those little covers that go over there, secure them up. Some of the cabins may have power once in a while. Some of them may don't. Some of them may never. Maybe somebody will put a generator on it, power up your own cabin. Alan Steve did that while he was there. We just need to get that thing secured. Several old culverts were stacked up next to the road in front of the upper fish pond. Well, why were they there? How come they just weren't moved?
They just got poured out of the ground. I was thinking of taking, there was some good steel pipe, swapping one of those out with the long ones that I set up at Red Reservoir. I think I'm going to use those for something else. Instead of taking them all down, I was thinking of using people somewhere else up there. It's almost like we need a stockyard up on the upper end and a stockyard down the lower end, so I'm not traveling back and forth. I talked about putting a little tiny container somewhere up by the upper cabins.
Put supplies,
so you're not driving 6 miles back to it. It's a 12-mile round trip and wasting a half hour.
Down from the old cabin that's on the road, the Pioneer Cabin, that's on the nose by the pond.
Well,
across, you know, the old cabin on the road by the pond. Across the road on this side, there's a large road switch there. There is a, that's what they have a little storage area there. And Barbara and Taylor used to keep things in there because they would run the horses up there to do rides on the upper part of the cabin, I mean on the upper part of the ranch. And it's behind a big road switch. You can't even see it anymore because the road right there, it's storage area. At least there was some sort of a cabin.
It's going to have to be something
secure. I know, but that's an area that would be good.
That you could hide it.
So that's why those are there. We just, I don't know if you're aware of some of the culvert work that we just had done there. A couple ways, there was a culvert exposed, it was smashed someone in. A lot of that water coming out of Crawford had no place to go. Go right over the road. So we had a culvert put in there. Those were some of the culprits that were taken.
I'm just concerned about how long this is going to sit there. That's all. I wanted to bring it to my attention so that, you know, we make a move on it and get these things rolled out there. There's like this mold pipe along the meadow going up the road there. It's a little pipe. We used to have water systems up there. And you know, half of them are getting buried and covered. There's a whole bunch of other pipe that are over by the old cabin, hidden cabin above the pond right there, too. Some things that need to be gathered together and put away. So we can ever use them again. Instead of buying them again, why don't we just use them again, you know? Something I had on my list, and I don't know, I must have slipped it when I was typing this up. The pavilion site we had there on number one pond.
On there? You missed it. Go back up. Go up to the third one from the bottom.
Debris from the proposed and even started pavilion site getting buried in the dirt over there. It's almost even covered up. At least we can just pick it up and neatly pile it on the pavilion site right now so we decide what's going on. I know that's an issue that's been tabled for a long time. So everything we got there is wasted. It needs to be cleared before we totally lose it. And we have to use a metal detector to find out we did have stuff there. It's literally that covered with dirt.
Yeah.
But due to the road, it looks like there's a couple of piles of pipe in there. And I think the first pipe was almost covered with it. I just couple of emails throughout there real fast for, you know, everybody for my concern and what I saw. Appreciate your time.
Comment on that,
Kelly? Yes, please.
Wow. Yeah. You know, that's a lot of stuff. And I we're going through this on the farm and things that, you know, definitely are talking about during the budget proposal. But I look at the rest of them, you know, to me, who don't know anything about construction, it's not like a small army's worth of work. And like maybe at the beginning of spring, some of the stuff doesn't have to be done immediately, like these cabins, like weatherizing and insulation and stuff. Maybe we could have the board and ask other members to come in during the very beginning of spring and help go through. Remember, the first ones, the cabins are used all the time, the second, and then the other ones that aren't used too much later down the road. That seems like an awful lot of work to put one person when you've got so much to do.
I would encourage everybody to read through that because I just highlighted the back on it. There's just one thing I even said in there too. There's like bumpers and stuff, plastic pipes, parts of cars, and along the metal things. It's
like picking up trash when you go for a walk.
Right, right. And members can do that.
Your evaluation is good.
Wow.
That's why I said on that presentation that we should spend about $10,000. On each cabin, for 10 cabins, that's $100,000 to replace some of the furniture, the floors, the doors. And you know, it isn't going to just fall out of the sky. We've got to bite the bullet.
I disagree with that. I think for the next 5 years, you know, instead of $100,000 to do it all right now, which would be great. Did anybody notice the bathroom in cabin A?
Yeah.
Hey, you should have saw it before that was done. Right. You know, other than the burn mark from cabin 7, cabin 7 is looking better.
What happened to that? That was about 6-9.
I put a Mr. Heater in there to thaw some pipes out, and it was too close to the ground. It just melted. That floor is easy to replace. That is it's not even a glue down linoleum. It's just a lay down. So, cabin 4, bathroom, is redone. I'd like to redo the floor in cabin 2. Somebody said that they were going to do that this next year. things are getting done. I don't think.
You can challenge a lot of things.
And Linda, off the top of your head, which cabins are used the most that we should really focus on spending time on? I know we have one, I know the garden has. What other ones do you think off the top of your head?
Well, 8 and 7 were on that list, and they have been done up by
Linda.
And
really good.
And it's looking really well. Yeah. 7 number 2 is used a lot when it's available.
I agree. A lot of work needs to be done. A lot of work.
I don't think we're going to have the budget for it.
Right now.
Yeah, but I have to.
Alan Speed, while he was there, did a hell of a job on cleanup and touch up and some minor repairs.
Well, and, you know,
he's in there right eight.
Members do that too. Harry and I, whenever we're up there, we're doing things like that.
He has. I guess he has the whole crate or whatever up there.
They shampooed the car.
They did everything.
So while this is fresh in our heads, because he just went over this whole thing, maybe we should figure between the cabins that are used the most, let's go through those and see what really has to be done.
I will tell you right now, number one budget item for every single cabin is paint.
Paint.
It all needs to be painted.
Are we going to be on the same color, or are we going to change colors?
That's beside the point. Let's paint. I invested money in the ranch's money and bought an airless sprayer. Never used it other than to paint my ass. I want to use it. I've had it for the last 2 years, but to paint every cabin. It's on everybody's mind.
Every cabin.
It's something that's going forward. It needs to be done. It's protecting.
Preserve the building from falling apart and filling apart and doing everything else like that.
So we can address that.
Let's plan again.
Can we have a break?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, great.
Trash.
Well, you know,
I got it.
I
had
to go.
There's a whole bunch of horse egg pipes over there by the hidden cabin. There's hangers or something hanging in the tree. Is Larry still using those to the first at all?
What?
Go to Pipes and start all about it.
I
know he kind of got a little channel and he's stuck the back down so the water would go through. He's still using this thing that comes out of the
pants.
Goes out like this. Hang all the pipes so they're not sitting in the dirt. We're all just kind of hanging off of
them. We used to have a lot of pipe up that well field.
There's still this pipe. But between cows over the years, a lot of it been up. I don't know what.
That's why we gathered the stuff up that fall. We won't be replacing it later. That's why I wanted to bring it up, but we need to show
them. And I bet you
we really need to gather that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's pipe all over the place.
Ace is going out of
this.
Why couldn't you pick up some paint to put
off? Right now, as you heard the financial earlier, we're the very subject to the payroll and everything else at the end of the year. We have some more money generating ideas, whether we're selling the cabin time that nobody's using, or whether we break lockdown property, some of these areas that we talked about, we need to generate some more money somehow. And without that, we're digging ourselves a big hole in the ground. We've got to come up with something, and we got to move on.
All right, and I've dealt with enough families to know that they're not businesses.
Well, that's
Not, not something I have control over.
Okay, I'm glad to know that. Do you want to do this?
I mean, I have to ask.
How do you want to do it? Monthly or?
No, weekly.
Oh, no, like once a month? Oh, that's after our medical pass.
Initial paperwork order was that go with them?
No,
the initial paperwork order. Okay, the hard drive was on the tablet, but the handwritten one order was back to
All I got was the fact
of the right of my phone. They just kept that one, they did a little bit on the winter.
Mike had it,
no more. I was just on the receiving end of that whole deal.
All right, so we're kind of up to them finding it in fact. Well, I sent you a copy, didn't you?
No, I'm talking about the original order that we saw. I want to see the wording in it. I believe it says lab or rehomed. That's our issue at the moment.
Gotcha.
Okay. If we could find that original order.
All right, everybody continue standing maybe or whatever you want. We got to get rolling on this thing here. Oh, she's right there. All right, if we get into our budget planning for 12. Looks like Jody sent everybody out a gave everybody a report on a three-year comparison for previous budget expenses.
Okay, the I put together a budget worksheet called the 2012 budget worksheet. And basically, all that is a compilation of figures from the last 3 years that end this year for September 1st to show what we spent on things during the last 3 years to kind of give us an average of what it costs us every year. And I only did the average on categories that were applied. Like if we did something 3 years ago and it was it, well, there's no need for an average, it's just done, it's over with. So that's basically all that form is for. It's just for information, but I want to make sure you all have it to know where I got those numbers from. Then we go on to the proposed budget worksheet. This one here, this is the one that has the landscape form. It's got the quarter of the totals for the 3 year averages on income and expenses, and then I estimated for actual the ending number for this year, so all based on what we have right now. And then next to that is the 2012 budget estimate. And here's where I put numbers in there based on our previous years, but these are just my guidelines as far as what previously has happened. We can change those as we go to help along in that process, so we can tweak numbers as many times as we want without having to re-add it all up. I've got a printout this page, the calculation sheet, which I've got on the computer here, so when we put different numbers in the changes, we can add, subtract, give us totals when we need to as we go. And like I told you in the email, I'm not an accountant, so we need to try with it. But I just want to give us the numbers that we could play with, and that way hopefully making our job easier to say, do that. That would be nice. So we also want you to look at, this is just for your reference, you can take it home. This is the landscape one without the, it's just called the 2012 budget worksheet on the top. Look at it later. And the one we want to focus on is the landscape view of this. And it says it's the 2012 proposed budget worksheet. And that will, now,
on the proposed budget worksheet, there are some items that we've talked about in the meeting and that Linda had emailed about at the last minute, so I've added on to this one. So I do have them in there. We can talk about them as we go through. They're on there. They might not be on here yet. I didn't have a picture last time. Right, for income, you can see that basically the assessment, what we average in getting every year is about $120,000. We really shouldn't count on more than that. We had a lot of foreclosures last year. So I'm thinking if we stick with $120,000, that should be a very good estimate of what we are expecting to get in. Do we all agree on that?
How many foreclosed did we have last year? Four?
Four.
We got the
I don't think we've had a foreclosure for 4 or 5 years.
Not
I've
not
been to a sale over the courthouse.
Right. It's not using the right term. Yeah, I'm not foreclosure. I mean, people are paying. On cabin rentals, those are just the estimate for the end of this year is basically this is not for cabin 1-2, the ones we normally rent. This is for people that are not members.
Outside.
Outside. Again, cabin rentals, I'm thinking not adding that to the budget as income because it's a hit or miss over here. We do not know. So maybe leave that as bonus dollars to help with the end of the year money that we always come short on.
Where do we promote this? How do we promote this cabin rental?
Outside groups. Like
cabin rental business. Their family and friends or somebody that wants to do it and they can come in.
So we don't rent our cabin.
We don't want to promote it, per se, at this point in the way it is, I don't think. Because we've got a lot of other people things that we have to go through. Basically, what cabin rental money is people that have spent a few extra days. They've had friends that have come up and friends want to come up for a weekend, so they use their, they do it under the auspices of their rooms property. Go ahead.
Yeah, Linda, last year, wouldn't it have been the Man versus Wild people?
They had Man versus Wild also, but I think they used Ben's time on that one, so that wouldn't have gone under cabin rental. It's just very miscellaneous. Extra day here, extra day there, or using over what they what members have for their time for the week besides that third week in essence. That's what that is.
It's sure nice to have some extra income from that thing for
personal
visit. Well,
yes, you're right.
I think it would be, but as far as code goes, you know, we're talking about fire code.
Right.
I don't know if the cabins are up to code. I think they are.
Well, a lot of
you know, there's a lot of
addicts
to start promoting.
We'd have to do CRT taxes and all kinds of things.
And I'm
we do free linen, which is a huge expense to the ranch, which I would suggest we cut out. That's just my opinion because I've seen how much work goes into it. But
what?
Linens.
But
as far as promoting, I don't know.
And I don't know necessarily if they need to promote it, but these groups coming in, like Man versus Well and commercial groups, they should not be. I mean, that was very nice of them to get the 3 weeks, but there's a way for us to make extra income and also to charge them for a film after because we weren't given.
We did. We got that.
Oh, I thought you traded out for Ben's week.
For the cabin. But we got usage fees for using the ranch to film them and that sort of thing. We
okay.
Have money on that. Yeah,
but we should take that opportunity to make some money off because they have it off the cabin and pay for it.
It is a good discussion item. I don't think this is something we want to
no,
do this year, but we do need to talk about it so that everybody understands how it works.
We need to prosper. We need to make money on what they do because. Yeah. Well, one of Paul's laws, he wasted hours of our time and for chasing maps down. That they could have sent their own people in and dug at maps.
Yeah, those are perfect people.
But we need to collect money on that. I mean, we need to pay for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm not, I agree on that.
So we'll see. Is there anything to be made now? Now, we charge?
That's just a one-on-one basis when it comes up. We need to make better decisions on that.
Oh, and that was that presented to the board let him use
no, it was a personal thing, but that's a big issue because if somebody wants to do that, they can. It's a kind of a
incentive to have them get there. I mean, that's okay.
Once they start getting there, as long as we're getting some exposure for it, or it works for us beneficially somehow, but we didn't get that because they don't want people knowing where it's at. Therefore, we charge. And I'm at a town in the Apache Junction where we're camping. We have film crews come in all the time to use the facilities to do stuff. And we don't get advertising for it. I might do a training out for advertising. We don't get advertising for it. We're going to pay for it. So same should apply for these groups that come in.
Right.
We should make some money from them.
Right.
But we'll discuss that on a one-on-one basis when it happens. Another way to have income. Cleaning fees, that's another thing. That where I have bonus dollars in the notes, and it's meaning to me that, hey, we can't really count on that number, but it's nice that it's there. So maybe that can go into our little key for the end-of-year crunch.
Right.
So that's why I call it bonus dollars, so you all know what that means. Donations, same thing. We get it raised. We don't want to rely on it.
Do you know how much donations we got this year?
Very few.
Yeah. So you don't know.
Now, and the money might cook up. I do not have a final number on that, but Linda, do you know yet? We can talk about it.
I think your final is correct.
Oh, okay. All right. So no more coming in. So why the property raising income, I think it's $10,000 or
$11,000.
Next year
will be $11,000. Oh, sure. Okay. $11,000 next year. $12,000 the next year, and then $12,000 the next 7 years.
Okay. Reservation fees. What do we have on that one?
That's $25 between somebody reserves.
No. How much do we have for this year? End of the year.
I
will look. That goes okay.
Yeah, your QuickBooks up. I'll leave my
phone up and
okay.
I pulled up something else.
Okay. You were right on that. And if I miss an income, let me know it's here now. But I got the sheet, but there could be stuff that came in that's not totally good that I won't know.
Right. I don't see any.
You can sell some fertilizer. I got enough of it from last week in my yard. Around 1,000.
I'll take it. Very
you
want to
go on?
Okay, yeah, the best. Still with gasoline, $250.95. I think we're okay with that because we don't have the last quarter in there yet. Tractor work income. Again, we might not have all that in there, but I'm estimating like $500 for next year.
Now, that one, members higher up.
$200 each. Do we want more?
Where are we putting them?
I'd like to put them in each cabin, but I had an idea. If people want to bring their propane tanks, bring your propane tank. They'll be in certain cabins. They'll be.
It's hard to carry a propane tank around unless you have a truck or something.
The reason we did this is the board agreed that we'd switch all barbecues from propane to charcoal.
We did.
I looked. I didn't want to buy a $94 Weber grill because it's not going to last. So I bought two that will last and just wanted to see how they went this year. One was in cabin one and one's in the iron cabin. Really heavy duty, and I think they'll last longer than a cheap $94 grill. I would like to do a couple more this next year. I know it's a big expense to do them all, so I think a couple grills here and there. Maybe buy one for three and one for eight.
Or do we want to put the money on the paint this year?
I can't believe you can change it later. And then change it later when we get out of the final.
Is that girl $200?
And $200 each.
I have to say this because Colin Anthony shop, they really do shop. They try to get the very best deal when they're doing things. And that's, we need to let you know that we really appreciate that. But we know that you're a good shop.
And I did talk to the guy at Lowe's and said if I bought a thumb rail, I would give you 150% discount.
Oh, you know what?
I love this. Well, let's come up with a budget number. I can do a lot with it.
Back to our conversation before, this will help us through this whole budget process. Cabins 1, 8, 7, and garden cabin are the ones that are used most. Is that right, Linda?
Mm-hmm.
So, what we talk about, do we need more girls? Okay, cabin 1 has one, cabin 10 has one. So, 8, 7 would are two optional if we want to do that.
That's a good idea.
Should we drop it in there?
Well, and they're really good propane grills. I'll see if I could take them and replace
somebody else.
Yeah. We're trying to use the ones that we have up there. Let's just use the good ones we have and put them in the lower use cabins and save that money right now.
We have still more of the gas grills that are still good.
Let's just put them over there and make sure we have good cash. Let's save our money. We need the money everywhere else here, guys. We're in trouble.
So those are already like this. We already have them.
We need paint.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
That's the one.
Okay.
So
we're going to zero that
one. Zero that right for now.
Okay. Good idea.
Zero.
But in that same building, we still have to do, we need to add paint. So however much paint we can get.
That's what we have to do.
Yes, cabin maintenance and furniture expenses down a little lower.
Oh,
we're not there yet. All right, and my groups, the auto expense and the vital expenses together, our insurance, that's pretty stable. That's not going to change. Repairs.
I would like to add a budget request for the ranch truck. The bed on the ranch truck is falling apart. I kind of use it for okay. As far as a ranch truck goes, flatbeds are the way to go as far as moving things around. I know Mark, you talked about flatbed, and I've been doing some looking anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 for a flatbed. And, we could probably haul it to the ranch, but I could install it myself. We really need to look at a truck bed or a flatbed. I prefer a flatbed.
I mentioned to Paul, I've got, if it will work, I have an old bed that I need to do something with, that's a big bed truck, and a rack in my facility that it may be very workable, and I might, if it won't fit your truck, which I need to get the specs on your truck so I know if I can measure the frame underneath and the wheel well, if it will work or if it's cheaper for if the steak bed cost, if you look around $1,500, $2,500, I mean, if I can modify what I have there and, so I say, cover my time for, I'll throw a number out there, $500, if it saves the ranch up, ranch $1,500, if it is a good move, if it is a good investment, then I would just modify that and just, I'd give the steak bed up if it can work, if it would be modifiable enough in
that pay the ranch money.
But there's a lot of trucks on KSL and Craigslist that they basically come get and there's a flatbed on it for $500 or, you know, whatever. And there's, Don said in your house that somebody had a truck there that they wanted to swap bed. So, I mean, I just wanted to throw that out.
And that's a really good bet if you decide to get the other bed.
Maybe we could put a $500 budget on it today.
Yeah.
Just on top of what our estimate would be. Or maybe we just, let's just put it in points calculated there. As far as
we're doing a lot of heavy repairs all the time. What's the cost of the bottom slope? What cost us in repair?
This is all.
$4,400.
Yeah, $4,400.
Yeah. What you spent for $4,400? We have 2 years.
Yeah. It's part of our payment to Brent in that.
Part of our what?
Brent in that.
No. Hey, Linda, can you pop up the repair?
I don't know why.
Total amount of 3 years.
And that's a lot of money we're spending for repairs for our vehicles.
That's got a grader in there.
No,
I don't have
repairs
in there.
No, the motor repairs
in there. No, we're not
in that.
We're not in the separate one this year.
Oh.
So, what about the rhino?
All in there. All the equipment is in that one. But that's not a fair assessment.
So, if the rhino is separate for this year, we separated them out for this year.
I put them in the same repair category in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all in. There was, like, what, 400 in the rhino this year?
That's vehicle and equipment maintenance all in one.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, but we just increased that $3,500 in the last 2 years in a row. We got that much stuff written down. Because the last two years, you said you added the Kubota. It was in the previous 2 years. And now you made a new line item. Okay. Okay. And so if you look at the last 2 years, we had about $4,500 a year going out to repair maintenance.
Including
now you're forecasting we're going to have $10,000. That's double our expense. What's breaking out? What's going?
Well, we don't have to lower the repair
down
to $3,500 then, because the motor takes $2,500.
Yeah. Yeah. $3,000. Well, so you could just do it for $3,000.
I think that was just a number that we threw out. I don't think I spent that this year.
I think the only thing I spent
this year on the Kubota was
turnbuckle for the
turnbuckle. No, I just had that fixed for $90. But I think there's tubes for the tire, for my tire that I just had done. Other than that,
we already discussed the last month, the motor hasn't been used, much the last couple of years to, where's all the other repairs?
There's all the previous 5 years.
They're just estimating. They don't know. They just guessed it.
We're giving a best educated forecast that we can on it. It's going to change repair others to
$3,500. So that's I agree we need to get it. I agree we need to put it, looking to get an auger. For Kubota, and it's very cost effective for doing our maintenance and repairs.
Yeah.
The ranch had one,
but I borrowed one. Some of that fence was done by hand at headquarters, but from the school over to my house was done with an auger that I borrowed from my friend. And it worked a 3-point deal. It takes two guys, but works good. I think I saw it in the Northern Tool catalog for $900, and then it was like $150 for the arm, the bit, 12-inch, is 8-inch, or 6-inch.
For vehicle repairs in the year 2010, not repairs, vehicle expense, auto expense was the category, and we did, we bought a truck then, $2,500.
Oh.
And, but also, if you'll remember, that was back when the roads were in horrible shape, coming into town with the trucks and things like that, and our own vehicles literally rattle apart. So there were a lot of repairs that needed to be done, besides actually doing things like lube and oil changes and things like that, too. So tires, like, 12 in.
And that happened one year.
And it, yeah, this year, hopefully, with the county, we're seeing the roads now, that it shouldn't be as bad in the part on the vehicles as it was for the last 2 years.
That was a big expense, was purchasing the truck.
And it was all put together. It wasn't until last year's budget that we actually separated it out, you know, on your balance sheet or on your budget versus actual. You'll see we separated it out so we could get a better handle on what was being repaired and things for this year. So on your balance, on your paper that I gave you, it has year to date on what the repairs are, and that's considerably than it was last year.
Okay, so we don't need a Kubota repair and repair oven because those really should be combined. Is that what you're saying? So if you have repair oven, you have about $3,000. You don't need $2,500 for Kubota repair.
But in between the two, repair oven and Kubota, we should still keep it at $5,000 to $5,500.
No, the Kubota repair and combine it with the
other. That would sound like the purchase of the auger to fall into that.
Exactly.
And the van?
What?
Are we thinking spending $8,000 on repairs?
Well, yeah, yeah.
No.
Well,
when she did the math, she added the Kubota, forgot to subtract the money from the others.
Right.
She changed the others line down to $3,500, which should encompass the auger purchase.
And just from my side, look at it, what the board is considering doing, what I think really needs to be done. We're looking at 400 acres of stuff that needs to be brush on. I agree. If I'm going to be spending that much time on equipment, you're looking at fuel costs, you're looking at maintenance costs, you're looking at things that...
Fuel expenses down there currently.
Right. But you see what I mean, though? I mean,
we want to make sure that's...
I'm looking right now at all the cones or all the things on the radiator. Some people scraping all the stuff off. It's starting to pull over. So, you know, the radiator... It's pretty easy for me to replace. I don't know how much it costs, but that's just a thing that could happen. So, you know, if next spring I'm a brush hog from whenever to whenever, depending on, you know, scheduling. If we want to brush hog 400 acres, and that's the goal of the board, I'll be on that equipment putting hundreds of hours on the equipment. We're going to have some. $2,500, I don't think, is a whole lot.
It isn't.
It'll be enough to cover, I think, the cost. I don't think they'll raise it, but I wouldn't consider it.
Well, I think if we put that repair others down to the $3,000, like you said, you had the $3,000 and the $2,500 repair. If we do all this extra stuff, then we get an auger.
All encompassed, then.
Yeah.
Well, now, wait, the $3,000 on the repair other.
Yeah.
We're going to need that for repair other. That should not include the auger in that. It's a motor
repair. Motor repair. Should cover that.
Because we didn't spend that much money on the last year.
No, yeah.
But it's broken so much here.
More.
Yeah.
And I know, trust me, I know a lot of people. Yeah. Suffering, and it ain't cheap.
So we
take care of what we're getting and go over and learn the stuff. I don't think we need to rent that thing out.
A lot of the cost over the years has been from the neglect of the equipment.
Right.
A water pump, an alternator, just certain things. And it was stuff that
you were learning.
I was learning. If I could have done it, I would. But, you know, we paid Settlers Co. to come out and do it, which was $75 for the trip. A lot of the stuff I'm learning, and I'm a pretty good mechanic. The Kubota's not that difficult. It's finding the parts and buying Kubota parts. But I think a lot of the stuff I can do myself.
Two years ago, the expense was getting these things up to usable condition, and all being educated and watching over the guy's shoulder to see how you work on this type of equipment. And now he knows he can do it and do it out at the ranch without having to bring people out to do it. So that is the learning curve and bringing maintenance back up on the equipment.
Well, that's the tool expense. The ranch didn't have tools.
Right.
Zero tools.
Exactly. And also on that category, we've also have all requested 2 tires for the grader, and they're not 500 feet.
That's on the Kubota?
That's
on the grader.
Is that in that?
So it's in my, since we're talking about that.
I wish I would have taken a picture. I don't know if you remember when Larry was operating the grader, that one tire that had the big cracks on it. Did you ever see that? Well, there are big chunks of rubber coming off. The tire hasn't gone flat, but it's
running on.
I would like to repair and replace just one tire, but it's good if it's replaced too.
Okay, and that's $500 a piece. Yeah.
I can shop around too. I mean, that's.
I mean, that's
just the number.
So that needs to go on top of the $3,000 right now for repair. So it's up to $4,000 on our list at $25,000.
Do we know what we're anticipating? What things do we need to do to even anticipate this $5,500 expense?
That's based on the last 3 years what we've spent.
What we're saying is that we're going to upgrading our equipment, and we've got it upgraded. We still need to upgrade the board, my question.
Well, he's always saying that we're doing more mowing and spending more hours on that. We want to use the equipment.
That's 55, Dale. They dropped that back down to 3,000.
No, that's the one we leave the 2,500 in the Kubota.
Yeah, which includes
the total is 5,500.
Which includes the purchase of the auger.
Okay.
So,
and now we need
the auger
on top of it. I mean, greater tires.
Mm-hmm.
900 plus.
Let's look for a model. We don't have that.
Yeah, that's just the numbers. That's a
you know ballpark
figure. That's what I've seen in Northern Pool. Yeah, well, it might be cheaper.
There may be 100 used augers.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah. So, should I pump in the 1,000 for these tires?
Well,
you got to have tires.
Like this year, I graded a lot of the roads. Next year, we've talked about ditching. And, you know, if we're purchasing road material, we're going to need the grader to spread it. I don't think it's cost effective to pay Alan just to use the grader to spread it.
Well, it seems like I'm attacking you, and I don't mean to do that. I'm asking to educate the board.
Okay.
How many hours of grading do you think the blade did this last year? Not very many.
I spent probably 14 days, 15 days grading.
Where? Oh, the road up there over the mountain. I saw a bunch of the road.
He spent a couple of days in Slide Canyon up on the top.
Pipeline, Crawford, spent a few days down by...
I think the board should be aware that many of the roads have not been done, and you want them done, and you want them done deep enough. Do we have a record on what the blades clock said at the first of the year and today, so we can actually say, it used 200 hours, no, it used 100 hours. That we asked for that last year. And he was to report to Kathy DeVoe at the early season what the tractor count was. I'd like to know what the tractor count was and what it is today. And we've got to monitor this thing so that we are dealing with facts. So our repairs and our fuel bill are taking place.
Well, real quick, just kind of along those lines. Let's say we contracted that out. Let's say the whole entire year, 100 hours were put on the grader. Let's say we contracted out for 100 hours. How much are we paying an hour? $50 an hour?
$50.
So $50 an hour times 100. Ranch owns the equipment. I think putting a couple bucks into the equipment that we own, the equipment is a long ways from the way it used to be.
Yeah,
the grader didn't even run when I got there. The Kubota, it couldn't even start. It's come a long ways. And I think with the way the ranch is going, I think we're going to be using it more. I'm going to be freed up from different areas and going to be able to do certain things.
But I'd ask the board to know exactly, if we can, what it was used for this year, how much it was used. The board can make an intelligent decision.
Mm-hmm. What are those records made?
I clocked my hours. I gave them I'm logging to every time I use their equipment. I do a beginning and an end, and I don't have a, you know.
He's done that twice. I have the report here. He's done that twice this last month.
Okay, I've seen those on the Kubota for the tracking. I've got these reports here too, and just I think it's part of the. I did see your in the job description thing that you do have supposed to be tracking this equipment, the hours, the maintenance schedule. So the board knows when we need to know when we need to change the oil, when it was
working. Know that.
But we need to know we're spending money, but and if we're.
I don't think we need more when. How many times a year? How much?
Yeah, we need about 12 points out how many hours we're using the thing.
Just the greater they have hours in their AC, have hours.
They have an hour meter on it. And there's certain hours and certain things are supposed to be done on heavy equipment. There are certain times where you expect the engine is going to go on a heavy equipment. I can tell you those numbers. Because we do with heavy equipment. There's certain things we need to know on what for. There's certain times in cycles that if the vehicle has so many hours on it, it needs to be, the hydraulic oil needs to change or the differential fluid needs to be changed.
Right.
Certain things we need to know, but we need to have, if there's supposed to be a maintenance schedule kept on all equipment, hours kept on all the equipment, and we need to know how they're being used. So we know how to adjust by funds.
Do we as a board require to know what the hours are for this year? And yes, next year, two or three years back, I would like to know for 2011 what the clock said at the first of the year and what it says today. And then the board can make some good, honest decisions.
You know, could we go, like, do it from this meeting, the budget meeting every year, have the numbers brought in then, and then keep it fresh for the next year? Let's say by January. People forget January.
I think we need to have the history.
Yes, you're right. But I'm saying from here.
Your thing was if we said, hey, we're just going to start today brand new. We don't have. I'd like to know where we are with some history.
I agree. I was just saying, today we get home tomorrow. Can we get the numbers?
The numbers on the.
So let's vote it.
He's already given us that.
So we say we set it up from here on. Yeah. From here on, last month, we don't have from here on a daily log. They're not
public. All right.
So
is there a way to find that out now?
Is there any way to control that we can keep going with our daily log, or we can get our hours tracking?
Daily log to me is that report he's sending over daily about what he's doing.
It's not there.
All right.
There's days he doesn't do the data.
Okay. But the hours on the equipment, we need, like, once a month?
I think we need a report.
Once a month on the hours that we're using on each piece of equipment. Is that
good? No, he put it down there. He has down there with a Kubota. We know the hours on the Kubota. And he puts the starting time and the end time, so we know he used it for 6 hours.
Okay.
What was the end time?
I don't know if this is the last one or not, but the last one was 42.50 for the hours.
I think... At the beginning of the year, it was like 39.
You know, this kind of information is probably something that I'm not familiar with. Keeping, like what you're talking about, Mark, this is all new to me, too. That there is a way to keep that kind of information and that
back. Yeah, track it, just like you track your miles on when you change your oil on your car.
Well, that makes sense.
We've got to do that. Yeah. We're going to ruin this equipment if we don't maintain it.
But it wasn't something I thought about.
What we look at, according to the stuff I've read.
What stuff did you read?
Sounds like you could really share some really good information with him that.
I need to know what's,
Josh, on this large equipment.
You contacted me, sorry.
But
we need to know, did we spend 100 hours on it last year?
At least. I did 2 oil changes. Every time I do an oil change, I write the hour on an oil filter.
And how many hours do you go between oil changes?
200.
So you put 400 hours on that machine. Were some of those machines, did you ever have any dead battery situations?
Oh. I do battery maintenance.
I only bring that up because is the counter working correctly? because if there's any power going to the hour meter on that thing, it would be recording hours. And I'm not saying this to be wrong. I can go run 50 hours on that machine and not start it. Just so you guys understand, know that.
Oh, yeah.
Turn the damn key on and put power to the hour meter. Okay?
Or you turn the key on. I'm not saying
that you didn't do that. I'm just saying. Just so everybody understands how this equipment works.
Well,
turn the hour meter on your forward.
Well, I see what
you can record hours on your machine and equipment.
The Kubota has to be running in order for it to do that.
Oh. So we can't find the other shot from last year, but we can start a fresh
one. You can start there.
Needs to be done.
The point is, we have equipment. We use it. We need to maintain it. It costs this much to do it. I don't know why there's all this bickering and whatever. There's going to be more equipment hours next year.
Good. I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so. We need it.
We need to provide Paul with a maintenance log for the Kubota.
Usually set up on like a spreadsheet, like what we got here.
I don't think he does spreadsheets. Manually would be a better thing.
I'm a farmer.
Right. I mean, you have a book besides Brader and Kubota.
Do we have a book?
There's such a log book can get any of the truck stops that will do just the same thing during court hours.
I can
just pass the plant
stop. We'll get that one for next year. We don't have it this year.
We need to know how much hour.
Well, he'll be able to go, if he's got it.
Is it cost effective for Paul to be running this equipment, or can we hire it out? That's what boils down to.
I think that's what Paul said.
It depends on what we want to address. We don't have enough time to do everything, or else the fences all will be fixed, all the roads will be fixed, all the culverts would be in.
We can only put it.
The board needs to know. Paul was there probably 6, 8, 9 months, and the tractor was never moved, never started. It wasn't his fault. The board allowed good equipment out
there. I'm picking up dead goats.
To sit there for
months and months.
That's not saying that you weren't doing anything. That just says that
for
trying to
the
make
board to allow
I'm just going to
get
a little dust on it.
Absolutely.
Because you have to
have the board around and everything.
For the board to allow that cattle guard to sit there in the just outside the store for a year.
Okay, I'm taking care of it. Moving on.
I know.
Let's
not do the same thing again.
Moving on. Can we skip number 22 kind of maintenance to the end, or do you want to hit now?
Oh, we pretty well went through it. We already
know it. We already figured out what number is.
We're over $10,000 last year. We spent almost $8,000, so we're about $1,000 under.
Okay.
We're talking about doing the painting, and there will be repairs in order to be able to paint things like that. So
how about those under special projects? Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Or just the normal. Oh, then again, we don't know what normal is because we don't know all of the time that we have in maintenance broken down. But let's just...
Well, 9,000 is good. Nancy is planning on getting some bed room. But she's planning on working within this $9,000 frame in order
to... Let's stick to the 9 and don't look to the 10. Look at 8 to 9.
8 to 9.
How long do you think it takes you to paint a cabin, Paul?
2 days.
And this does make a nice workout of it.
Easy. But it all depends. Some of those
and you gotta have some good paint.
Some of those cabins you gotta go through and scrape a lot
of
scrap
off
the tape and the prepping. So some of the cabins might take a little longer. Yeah.
Okay. Fuel expenses. Don't see that changing.
Well, if you're talking more tractor time.
Okay. Good
point. Yep. Well, it looks like you're on the
tractor. I think
you
should be covered with that.
If you guys remember, I bought the fuel at $3.
Oh, my God.
Now it's $4.14.
Delivers from the supplier.
I'm just asking. I don't know who the supplier is. That honey's, everybody comes in, you buy red fuel. But if you will register a foreign use of a coupon, then there's an additional discount that you get.
I've done that when I haul fuel out to our place. I just have to have the address it's going to with the local address.
And that's on top of, you know, the med tax.
There's still a state still picking up some on that red fuel. There's states still to do that.
Where do you apply for it?
They got a card. The Samco in the corner where I got mine.
So we did it through Hancock.
Okay.
That's
good idea.
You're
called
farm use
discount? What did you call it? Yes.
There's off-road and then there's farm. Okay. Because off-road is pretty much just for the construction equipment, graders, blah, blah, blah. But if you're using it on the farm, there's additional.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, ranch use, farm use.
Okay. Headquarters area.
And that's just for, headquarters area and everything. I'm working on that fence and all that other stuff.
I don't know if that's included in that.
This is just your basic. No, this is just normal wear and tear on headquarters.
If we could bump that up 400, making it even 2,000, I'd like to do something with the park this next year.
With the benefit park project?
It won't be. It's our What park?
Wings
and the.
And you went what, 400 for that again?
Well, just.
I'm just writing down the number.
Just add it to the 16.
Why don't you put it in the activity? No, go ahead and take it out of the activity.
Well, there's a swing set, jungle gym, climbing wall thing, guaranteed for life. The guy will come and build it for $100, and I think it's like $1,400 for the set. I'm kind of looking into it, but. Something has to happen with the park if we're going to have a park. The swing set that's there, the head's starting to fall. I don't know. I think something needs to be cleaned up in there. A nice little place that might.
There, and I have a hard time looking at it. I don't know how much our cabins are used. What's our age group that we're in here now?
It's used a lot.
Yeah,
so
it's a lot.
Family
reunions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a really family oriented area.
And when the parents are talking on the empty or using the facilities up closer to the cabin, the kids playing there and entertaining themselves. Very active in there.
Kind of part of my cleaning up headquarters. You pull in, you see nice corrals, you come around, you see the garbage, big bin, and the
can you get all the weeds up from these park benches? You can't even send the benches in front of the patch yet because they're keeping weeds growing through there.
No, those are, I'm repairing.
Bushes.
No, those are all busted up.
The bushes that come up through.
Can we just get all that? Anyway, I moved that over to number line 60, which is headed for area projects. So that's good. We can look at it there.
I mean, is that acceptable? I mean, am I, I don't mind my trying to have that.
No, I'm We're just going to get to them.
So headquarters area is,
yeah.
Okay, describe what's in the headquarters area then.
Headquarters area project that's in there for a new one.
Well, no, about 24. What is headquarters area? You're going to have projects for them.
What is, you're saying this is maintenance. Headquarters, line 64 would be like for projects that we want to do.
I know, go back to
24. 24 would be like, this is what you see all the time, the repetitive.
Why don't we put a note next to that if we want to cut something?
Well, you know, it's been pretty consistent over the last 3 years, and then last year we're already beating our average.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to go down on that. I already dropped $96, and we're already at
$96.
Thank you. Let's just go ahead and that was the website. Okay. All right, laundry. What did we leave it at, I'm sorry?
$1,600. Okay. Did I mention something about the laundry?
Yeah.
We spend a ton of money on laundry. Just an added expense, a ton of time. And it's just, I agree, it's a great thing for the ranch to come up there and not have to pay for linens. But like you guys said, we're trying to force people to do something. And it comes at a cost. I don't know exactly how much is spent on laundry, but I know it takes a full day to do laundry, and the ranch doesn't have enough laundry to do like two sets for the whole entire ranch. I don't know what we charged before, but we had an income of I think $1,000 or more from linen fees.
Rather than paying,
and I don't know if anyone wants to eat that cost. I understand it's a great thing, but it's just something to think about. I know we all voted on it. I voted on it.
How many weeks were rented last year? How many weeks? We got 10 cattle. I mean, how many weeks?
112 weeks?
Yeah.
I have to look it up
and see that. That might be something to look at. We had 50 weeks and you paid $20-$25 a week for your linen supply. That's cheap for a family to do. I don't know.
I calibrated that last year at budget time because they wanted to go back to doing free laundry, and I sent out an email. I probably could send that out to you again that showed where, because I'm for charging for laundry too. We charge $25 reservation fee, and that covers the things that are used in the cabin, you know, buying matches for them and a lot of those supplies. And the laundry was the same. A lot of people bring up their own linens anyway, but to have to run long linens and have the entire membership paid for, which is what we're doing through the budget, isn't a lot. I guess we're not going to do laundry.
I talked to quite a few people and had a lot of people email in, and it talked about this issue. And like, more people are the thought that those that use it should pay for it, which, okay, that's fair. So the people that aren't using the cabin, why would they want to be paying for it? Why would they want to be paying for it? And
let me throw this out there. We fold everything up and put it into a bag and put it on the bed. People bring their own linens, but they forget their pillowcase, so they tear into the bag, dig through it, find a pillowcase, put it on the pillow, I don't know if it's Quinn or Missouri at all.
Very well. Yeah, you have to learn.
And it's a long day. And I value Nancy's time because she could be doing other things. You know, you look at time, money. There's a lot of wasted money, I think, because I think a lot of people end up bringing their own money. It's the few people that, you know, they flew in, drove in from Vegas. They didn't have anything but their clothes. They came up. They had linens. Those are the people they used. But a lot of people have been bringing their own linens.
Do they ask you what size beds are in those so they know what to bring? Then how do they know what to bring?
My taking size shoots up when I go.
It's just a thought. I mean, I like the idea of free linens. I mean, the members pay for everything else. I like the idea of the free linens, but it's a lot of wasted money and it's a lot of wasted time.
Well, I think what points out that we just don't have a lot of extra money to spend on.
Or time, because your time's already cut short.
Yeah.
If you post what size is in each cabin and put on there, look, you're more than welcome to bring your own linen. If you don't, we have them for a small fee.
And already have them. It's on the website.
It's on
okay. Have them for Clem and okay. Size of the bed.
There you go. Okay. But put on the chart. That would free him up a day plus with
okay, so we have to check in at the headquarters. He has the linen there. It's not at the cabin. They didn't break into it. They checked it out for me. They gave you the $20 deposit.
Right. Well, and here's how it usually goes. They have the reservation. It's for six people. And yes, linens. So Nancy goes up, puts linens on the bed. If it's a no linen, it's a no linen. If they want linen, they come down, they give us $25. We give them linen.
15 is just what it was.
It was a 15.
Yeah.
Right. It's
25.
Interesting.
This was a board decision last year. Everybody took a vote. I was one that voted.
It's nice to have free weeks.
So,
You know, and when we get done with this, I hate to be wishy-washy on 1 year we have paying for letters. The next year we don't. The next year, it says we're wishy-washy people. But it's the approach at the end, like, we had to make some adjustments so we can afford the budget this year. Because they all know everything's going on.
I think what it shows the membership is that the board is trying. They're looking at ways to come up with money.
And then we want to go, and if you have a couple of two coming in, is there a different laundry fee for two versus six? Should it be based on per person?
That's $20.
I think it'll be okay, even if you only do 20, because remember you came out ahead. Okay.
And you're going to pay this time, it's going to force you to bring linens.
Like, free up a lot of
calls.
If he needs all the time, he can get it.
I get a lot of linens, but guess what now?
Thanksgiving?
I'm going to have a nice plaid print, okay?
All right, so we're going to scratch that off then?
$20
per
cabin.
What are you scratching off?
Okay. Are we scratching? Do we need to take that out of the budget or what?
Yeah. Well, one would be is that you would have an income on laundry.
Well, income.
And it would balance out. We're not
watching over the years, I've been very, very strong to furnish linen. We've always furnished it without a charge, nickel and dime people, for everything that's a turnaround. And we've gradually, over the last few years, gotten rid of $3 for a fish and a nickel for this and a dime for something else. Same thing is true with the linen. There was a lot of discussion before, and we were able to agree on the board to not charge for linen. I think we need to buy some more linen so that we have adequate there.
But a lot of the linen that are there is kind of starting to fall apart, so we're starting to lose.
So, yeah, we definitely need to...
So there's some decisions that have to be made on the linen, but I still think that we've cut a lot of things out of the membership benefits. $20. Again, I'd rather increase the annual assessment and not nickel and dime them. I don't know what, you know, until we know the cabin used. Was there 50 cabins that would have brought their own linen or would pay for linen? How many people would pay for their linen? And if it's $20 for 20 cabins, that's $400. That's not a big item in a $150,000 budget.
Sure. Well, I really think that the membership understands that cost of living is going up, the cost of fuel is going up, cost of building materials is going up, cost of everything is going up.
Those are costs for our assessment.
We don't want to.
But I think the true underlying problem here is time. If it's taken that much time to do laundry, we have other more priority. No, but it's taking us time. So we force everyone who used the linen before is not going to just start flipping the money. They may reconsider, hey, let's just pack it linen. Then that's freeing up more of his time to hog the bushes down, to move the culvert. So I think these are problems when it comes to time. I think it's not all about the dollar at this point. It's about how we can best use his time. It's not the dollar when it comes to this.
So let's see where we get to the bottom of this. Let's see where we get to the bottom of this budget. Okay? Let's see where we're at.
Well,
let's look at what ways we can create whether this is another way we can come up with a little bit
of that. Okay, so that's an F. We'll come back to
it. Okay,
should I leave it in at this point and then take it out later? Or?
Yeah, let's leave it in and then take it out.
There was some discussion last year about having it. Is that...
Port potty. I've got information on that.
Is it good to have?
The port potty unit accommodated 125 people. One unit accommodates 125 people.
That's a good point.
So, how many people go down to Fish and Ponds and use it during the season? Is there a whole season?
I honestly think a handful of people use it. But it's a handful of people that use it that think it's great.
So we could go down to one unit without hurting them.
No, but we don't have
food
sitting
there.
Yeah.
Right.
One.
Okay.
So we
put
two out of
them?
No, there's
Well,
because there was a complaint last year about, you know,
no reason to have to.
What are the lids? What are the
people, how many times for summer? We don't.
It's
not that many.
What I meant by that was, should we have it or should we just have one?
Let's have one.
Just have one.
I know that, yeah. You know, there was a thought of, should we just eliminate it?
Well, the problem with it is you got
to... we purchase our own. What's the cost of the purchase one and be done with it?
Well, we talked about that.
But those are not
because of the ground.
That's why we can't make sure.
One propane.
We had one more.
Did they
sell it
last week?
Holy crap, we are up to 70.
No, we didn't get a bill yet.
Was it 12,000 last year?
Propane went up.
It was 12,000 last year. John, it was 12,000 last year.
What? Yeah, but we just have what we have. Yeah, well, that's what we have seven still. They're still at the end.
So we sold that last week because we don't have a bill
with
that yet.
That'll come because we always have to resell.
And there was talk about getting 1,000-gallon tanks put in and just have them filled.
Yeah.
Once every other year.
Okay. That wasn't a bad idea.
It's not. A lot of cops have problems.
Why would they charge you up front?
The tank.
They have
a huge hole. I mean, big tank.
My question on that one is, Linda, you might know this. If it was 12,000 last year, but 7,300 the year before, was there something different that we did, or just the price went up so much?
Wow.
So I might be really too low on this number here for 7,500.
Well, let's see what the payoff comes and we'll know.
That's not including
Well, and that was tanks too. That other price hike was also being the tanks for the grill.
$5,000. Okay.
I think it was like doubled up last year. It was the problem. Instead of doing the upper cabins in the spring and the lower cabins in the fall, but like they did them all. You know, now we have kind of a rotation. When they came out, I didn't have them fill them all up. I just had them fill up 7 and 8 in the garden cabin. When they come in the spring, they'll top off 7 and 8, which probably won't be used at all, and then top off everything from the top.
So 75, you think is good, or you think we need to up it some?
Well, this isn't including what they just did.
For the 3,700.
Well, she's only got 3,700 for this year.
Yeah,
so far. And he just barely filled up. So it's probably going to come up to 7,500.
Yeah.
So we don't need to go more than 7,500.
Let's leave it about the same.
Okay.
Okay.
Store supplies.
Store supplies.
Store supplies.
Telephone, that's the cost for December. We've got 80%. Tool, you can see it's an average of 3,000 a year.
It's cut 500 off that. The rent is starting to accumulate some decent tools.
What did we spend $3,000
last
year?
Oh, we had $6,000 in the last 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. There was not anything on the ranch when they came. There, I mean, as far as tools, the fellow before even took our anvil. Like, I mean, there was a lot not there. People before that, and we were selling stuff that hawking.
Why do we need this much stuff?
I don't exactly know what
were you really short anything this year for tools? Were you able to handle all the job with the tools you have right now?
I bought a new set of power tools. Other than that, you're pretty
well. You can handle pretty much everything you've got for grant right now, right?
Maybe some bigger wrenches. Other than that, yeah.
Well, and this includes also things like the lawnmower and things like that that she signed. Those are all tools.
What?
I mean, still bump that down.
How many? Take 1,000 off that.
Yeah. Okay. Take 2,000 off of it? I mean, Bill, you got service for it? I mean, you're a mechanic. How much damage do you buy every year for fuel? You keep that much off? I mean, that much?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, why
does
that
much? And they don't go nowhere.
Here's an example. I could come off the power off. You know, it's a bigger lot. Got to go get bigger stock.
I think if we need to scale down ones, I mean, just thin them out a little bit this year. But remember next year that we may want to put them back up to the normal amount.
It's been 3,000 for the last 2 years. Let's take 1,000 off.
Yeah, and he can go lean 1 year. He knows.
Yeah.
I mean, you just know that next year he may want to just step it up.
Might be something else coming.
This is including shovel cranks and.
Okay. And during the course of the year, I'll take notes to see what you think you might be short of. Because
we have the swapping, they have the day school, the swapping down the line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of, you got to give me a short little list. You know, like, down there, people watch.
Yeah.
And
we can get some nice deals. I'm sure we can help you out a lot.
Yeah. Yard sales are great right now.
So we're down to 2K?
Okay. So tractor grain we've got.
That's awful high.
Well, my thought, Mary, we're losing that. Other stuff before.
Well, Capota
was different.
Oh, we did that already
because
we just jumped it up to. So, number 20, we added the greater tires. So, we have the greater tires in there.
Well, we put great, let's take the greater tires stuff off that one. Leave it down where we were and just put $1,000 on there.
Okay, put $1,000 on that.
$1,500. Let's cut that in half. Let's
look
at
$1,500.
Right?
On the greater
and
go
this back
to 3.
Excuse me. Drop it back to 1500 there.
And that includes
and the other side, back to 3.
And that includes tires.
Okay. That's there. And that leaves us our 3 on the other one with 25 for the book.
Great.
Let's get some fat there.
Oh, we're
trailing. Trash trailer.
Yeah. We are. We're trouble, guys. Okay. Trash trailer.
Trash
trailer
landfill, please.
Do
anything see anymore?
No.
You won't tell, right?
Yeah. And we've talked about this, and it's where can we dig a hole and just bury our trash?
And can we burn?
That's what I'm saying.
This is
the first ranch I've ever been on that's a contrast to them.
I know. The way we used to have a
farm. Well, I'd like to know where I can dig a hole and do that because it's.
We got a lot of
washing. You know, there was. I forgot who brought it up. You know, separate the bottles from the. You know.
Oh, we're not going to do all that.
Let's just dig a hole, burn it, bury it, dig another hole, bury it, burn it, whatever.
Well, now, if we bury it, what are we doing to the watershed there?
Our watershed, we have a 3-plus layer of clay, which it will never, ever be exposed to hazardous root materials. Yeah. So you dig a 10-foot hole, you bury.
You need to be careful with washing you when you do that. Is this something that's not legal with the deal? No, we don't
own that. You can burn.
You can burn.
Burn it. It's a choice that the board has to make. I'm willing to do
why
that.
Why can't we do it out? Why can't we do it out behind the...
But you remember where we used to have it.
Why can't we do it there?
We used to have it just to the...
South of me and south.
Like a place where he's planning to do it, just east of the gravel pit. There's an erosion there that's 20 foot deep right now, so don't dig it in a 10-foot hole if there's a 20-foot hole.
Right.
There's a flat pile there. Hey, here's a thought for you, too. Go to the top and think about it. There's a city in Virginia that has a trash dump that the community trash went there. And then after years and years and years, when it made a hill, they planted over it, so it's grass and it's in the park now. So if we're sledding in parks and stuff, it's trash dump somewhere, would be a great snow split.
Would we run any chance of, you know, water coming down and washing that stuff down?
I think there needs to be a dam put down to make sure that the water does not come through. But yeah, it could easily be changed a little bit.
And also, if people from the upper cabins, if they wanted to, I can set a trailer there, kind of in that area. Throw your trash in there so they don't have to come all the way down to headquarters.
So we can eliminate that all together.
Can
I ask one more question on that?
Leave $150 on there.
Yeah, because you know, like, you also have tires and stuff like that that you can have.
Well, wintertime, I can't get down in there.
Yeah.
You know, emergency fund for the track trailer.
Just to know for purposes. What legalities is that of bearing from the BLM? As far as I know, Arizona, we don't own land under the top. Is that how this is called?
Just like the Army.
They retain the mineral rights.
That doesn't mean you can't dig holes. No, that's
a
change,
but
that's
the standard.
Right.
We're
being tracked by bearing.
And this has to be known. That we're not burying batteries, and we're not burying gas and oil.
Or refrigerators full of
This is your basic household.
We're not doing illegal procedures. We're not doing stuff about hazards out there. We're just doing our...
Go to cookout.
Yep.
Hey, cookout.
Really? That's my opinion.
What?
Okay,
income. All there is income is those expenses. We need...
For the sake of the time, I know next year is called license. I'm wondering about eliminating cookouts total.
Time. A lot of this time, we have to eat anyways. It's 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And we've said, and I think you said it yourself, where it's a good place for the ranch to come together.
That does give communication to the people.
Well, there's a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of get-together. There's a lot of fireside chats. There's a lot of stuff. And we're going to continue to have it, whether the board chooses to, and we'll probably eliminate the cookouts, but we're still going to feed people.
No, they're going to come.
We got to eat.
Is the 624 the year end for cookouts now? I think Nancy said more was coming in, or is there...
Let's see if they made any money or lost money this year. I think for the last couple of years,
it's just kind of barely broke even. Yeah,
it might be right at that point. Just
concerned. Well, and then you started asking during the day.
That's what we think.
A lot of it is held with
they're whether I'm working up at the upper cabins or working somewhere. I come home, I take a shower, relax, do whatever. 9 o'clock at night, it's still light outside. People show up, and it's, you know, I saw them last Thursday. Hey, you want to come over, have a barbecue on Tuesday? You know, Kenlin's going to come over.
It gives them people a rapport.
It's a get-together. And I found a lot of people really appreciate just that central meeting area. A lot of people talk over food and fire. It's just, isn't that what the ranch is about, yeah. I think
that's it.
To eliminate that, it won't get eliminated, but as far as the ranch paying for the food, that's kind of like
it. Well, the people are paying for the food anyway if we break even.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter.
Right.
Because we'll make it as much as we can.
As far as time, it doesn't cut into any of my time.
So people donate, or people excuse me, should have cooked out there?
They pay to come.
$10 a plate, I believe.
It is.
We know how many people are going to be there on Friday, and that's usually it's a Friday thing. It's not an everyday thing. It's a Friday thing.
$500.
Okay, give them $500.
Okay.